advisor.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns.
Fans, glad to have you along with us this evening. We're going to have a good show today, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches, a beautiful paradise here in Southwest Florida. So glad to have you along with us. I know it sounds like a broken record, but up north, a lot of you having bad weather. Just heard on the news about that ice storm up at Hartsfield Airport in Atlanta. My word, when is that ever going to end up there? And talked to my brother the other day. He's up in Ohio. He said they've been running chainsaws and wood chippers constantly, almost 24 hours a day to get rid of the wreckage from that ice storm. But things are fine here. Come on down. Everybody else has. All you got to do is take a look at the roads around here, and you'll know everybody from them. There can't be anybody left in Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Wisconsin and Illinois. Can't be anybody left up there. But we're here, and you're there. And I invite you to grab yourself a cup of coffee or a beer or whatever it is you like, your favorite legal beverage, of course, and join us for the show tonight. We're going to have lots of things to talk about. You can call us 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. And if that weren't enough, those are all toll-free. Lee Countyans, call us 479-5540, and Collier Countyans, 263-6570. So give us a call. We want to hear from you. You know, I can sit here and talk for 3 hours if that's what you want, but I want to hear from you, too. Your views are important to this program, and so I'm always glad to hear from you. You know, it was another interesting week. I don't know how you feel about it, but we have one of the worst candidates ever for the Secretary of State being confirmed by the Senate. And it wouldn't be so bad, but we had over 30 Democrats voting to confirm her. You know, 30 Democrats, some of whom mouthed off about her qualifications, but voted to confirm her anyway. Condoleezza Rice, by virtue of her evasive answers, or in many cases, non-answers in front of the committee, proves she is in no way qualified for this important job. But her actions as National Security Advisor, well, that was more than enough to disqualify her for the office of Secretary of State. The outright lies she's told in defense of Bush's war should have prevented her from even being nominated, but you've got to give Bush one thing. He has guts. The guy's got courage. He's got gall, something most of the Democrats don't have right now. He's not afraid to do anything, and he's just trying about anything. You know, he's got enough gall to appoint this woman to join the likes of Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe, John Quincy Adams, Henry Clay, Martin Van Buren, Daniel Webster, William Seward, William Jennings Bryan, Marshall, Atchison, John Foster Dulles. Secretaries of State of note. Secretaries of State who had the respect of the world. Secretaries of State who inspired confidence in the United States government by those they spoke with from other nations. You know, a whole lot has been made about her being called a liar this past week, but let's face it, she is a liar. And no matter how you can decode it, I don't care if you don't like that word, it doesn't matter to me, that's what she is. You can't deny that she told some whoppers about our invasion in Iraq. And if you hold the position that she was only acting on faulty information, I'd respectfully submit to you that as National Security Advisor, it was her job to find out the truth about the intelligence that was gathered. So which was it? Was she lying or didn't she know what was going on? And, you know, if that's your position, then you at least must find her totally incompetent to take the job as Secretary of State. You know, given her record of lies and incompetence, what foreign government will believe anything she says? You know, given the record of prevarication and incompetence of this entire administration, who would believe anything coming from them now? You know, except at the end of a barrel of a gun, what foreign nation will want to bend our way in these geopolitical matters now? The answer is no one. No one. Maybe not even Tony Blair anymore. And don't you love the disingenuous way the Republicans are spinning this whole thing? That's the part that bothers me the most. The Democrats are against her because she's black. The Democrats are against her because she's a woman. Oh, yeah. You know, for the Republicans to say that Democrats are against a candidate because she is a black female is laughable. It really is laughable. Think about it. How many black females do the Republicans have in Congress right now? Let's count them, okay? Everybody all together now. How many? You got it. Zip. None. Nada. Not one. Hasn't been one, to my knowledge, ever. The Republicans put two or three black people in appointed positions. All of a sudden, they're the champions of minorities. You know, that's a good one. Forget about how many black women are in Congress for a moment. How many black men are in the House on the Republican side? How many? Oh, none? None? Zero? You know, you must be mistaken because the Republicans are now the party of the minorities. No? What a ridiculous notion. So, the Democrats had a mountain of ammunition against Condoleezza Rice, and more than two-thirds of them vote to confirm her, saying the president has the right to have who he wants as Secretary of State. You know, under normal conditions, I might agree with that statement. But not when a confirmed liar and incompetent is up for that office. It was the duty of every Democratic senator to vote against this woman. But once again, we see our Democratic Senate leaders lack the guts to do what's right to vote their conscience. Once again, our elected Democratic leaders run scared from the Republican smear machine. They saw what the right-wing controlled press did to Barbara Boxer, and they ran like scared little bunnies. Oh, no, don't say anything bad about us, Mr. Limbaugh. Don't say anything nasty about me, Mr. Hannity, sir. Please, Mr. O'Reilly, don't say bad things about me. Please, Mr. Frist. Please, Mr. DeLay. Please, Mr. Cheney. Please don't say hurtful things about me. That's what I'm growing to expect from our Democrats in the Senate. Well, except for Joe Lieberman. Joe would kiss Bush's patoot at high noon out in front of the Capitol building. Joe Lieberman, a Democrat? Yeah, sure. Joe's a Democrat like I'm a Republican. The sad fact is that until the leadership of the Democratic Party shows some guts and votes for what is right instead of what is popular with this administration, we'll continue to get hammered at the polls over and over again. How can our leadership expect the rank-and-file Democrats to follow a bunch of wimps who just don't learn their lessons? Do they honestly think that by capitulating to Bush, they'll gain favor with him, and then Bush won't target them for defeat? I got news for them. They should check with Tom Daschle on that one. So, to Senators Kaka, By, Boxer, Byrd, Dayton, Durbin, Harkin, Kennedy, Kerry, Lautenberg, Levin, Reed, and I guess Jeffords, although he's an independent, not a Democrat. To those senators, I say thank you. Thank you for voting your conscience. Thank you for voting what was right. To the rest of the Democratic senators, including Schumer, both of the Nelsons, Inouye, Feinstein, Feingold, Corzine, Dodd, Obama, Dorgan, Debbie Stabenow, Hillary Clinton, and some others, including Harry Reid, which really worries me. To all of them, you've tarnished your images forever in my eyes and in the opinions of many others I know. We don't need wimps leading the Democratic Party, and that's what you showed us you are this week. I know some of you will not agree with what I have to say, but that's why we're here. I want to hear what you have to say. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, 7504. Got a couple lines open. To those of you on the phone, hang on. We'll be right back after these words.
A Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, Traffic Station. Wing WNOG.
You've made up your mind. You've got to have a big screen TV, and you've got to have it now. But before you rush into it, just take a little time out. Because choosing a big screen TV and setting it up right is a big deal. It takes planning, and no one can help you do that like Sound Advice. What's the right technology for you? DLP, LCD, plasma? How big should it be? What do you need now? What could you add later? Bigger sound, TiVo, or the latest receivers that hold your favorite shows, movies, and photos? It's a lot to think about. But thankfully, Sound Advice has a lot of answers. They can even program one remote to easily run your TV and all your components, all installed for less than you might think. So talk to the experts at Sound Advice, because with all the choices there are today, the one thing you don't want to bring home is a mistake. Sound Advice. They can untangle your mind. Get a 52-inch Mitsubishi DLP for $27.99 with no down payment and no interest for 3 years. Buy any TV and have it for the big game. See store for details.
Life is better with a boat. And boats are better at Southwest Florida's number one marine retailer, Boats Unlimited. Right now, only Boats Unlimited has double the factory rebates on hundreds of new boats. Double the factory rebates on hurricane deck boats, sweetwater pontoon boats, and polar fishing boats, all powered by Yamaha. $1,000 rebates become $2,000. $3,000 rebates become $6,000. Only at Boats Unlimited. Right now, the Hurricane 196 Fun Deck with a Yamaha 90 horsepower four-stroke is only $18,995, and it's under $200 a month. $18,995, under $200 a month. Hurricane deck boats, sweetwater pontoon boats, and polar fishing boats, all powered by Yamaha, all on sale with double the factory rebates. Only at Southwest Florida's number one marine retailer, Boats Unlimited, with two great locations at Del Prado and Southeast 46th Street, Cape Coral, and on Tamiami Trail, Charlotte Harbor. Life is better with a boat.
Now, when you talk trucks, it's hard to talk about the all-new Nissan Titan without using words like powerful, beautiful, comfortable, rugged, tough, sturdy, and that's why every day people pay $25,000 to $30,000. Sutherland Nissan in 2004 sold more new Nissans than ever before. We're going to get bigger in 2005 because at Sutherland, you can drive home your big, bad, bodacious V8 Titan King Cab XE. $18,988, are you kidding me? Loaded stereo CD, automatic and air, good truck stuff everywhere. $18,988, Naples, are you listening? Dennis, I'm talking to you. If there was ever a real steal-a-truck deal, this is it. Your all-new rock solid, loaded V8 Titan King Cab XE, $18,988. Waiting for you right now, smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers, on US 41 south of Bell Tower Shops, on Tamiami Trail. New Titan V8 King Cab XE, $18,988 at Sutherland Nissan today. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
VINs 520-497-519-889. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts, plus government taxes, finance, stock prep, and emission fees.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Yes, back with you. Call your neighbors, tell them the show's on. Maybe they've never heard the show. Maybe they're on the right. Maybe you'd get their blood boiling if you get them to listen to the program. That happens now and then. Talked to a guy just the other day. Said, "You're not that Guy James, are you?" "Yes, sir, I am." My God. He was appalled. He was just appalled that I would say anything disrespectful about Mr. Bush. Speaking about disrespectful Mr. Bush, listen to this. I hope we're going to listen to this.
Vision is that this is not automatic citizenship. The American people must understand that. That if somebody who is here working wants to be a citizen, they can get in line like those who have been here legally and have been working to become a citizenship in a legal manner.
Did he say working to become a citizenship? The President of the United States said working to become a citizenship. Oh, well. Hey. You know, I did find an interesting quote. This is going to be the quote of the day today, and I want you to think about this pertaining to today's world events. You know, you've all talked about the Abu Ghraib prison and the Gitmo problem that we have. Those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. By Voltaire. Voltaire was a pretty smart guy. What do you think about that? Give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. Let's go to Diane in North Fort Myers.
Yeah, hi, Guy.
Hi.
I live every week to hear you. The rest of the week, I cannot stand the radio. But I've tried to listen to that Mike Savage, I believe it was Wednesday night, and I turned him on for about the first 10 minutes, and all I heard was hatred. So I went for a long time and turned the radio back on, and I turned it back on for about 5 minutes, and this was hours later, and it was still hatred. So I turned it back off.
Well, you know.
But I wanted to call because these people, showing them in, the Iraqis in America going to the polls and voting. And I'm wondering, did they vote in the 2000 election for our president?
I'm wondering that, too. And I'm wondering how they're keeping track of all these people.
Exactly right.
Diane, do you suppose we'll have any kind of an accurate count of this vote whatsoever?
Oh, come on. Do we have it on ours?
We can't count our own
votes.
We can't
do ours yet. Come on.
No.
But I also wanted to bring up, did you see on the news, locally, people out there, we're still having problems with people's old blue tarps that had been given to them from FEMA. They're all ripped and shredded now from age and weather, you know, the sun down here bakes it. And but anyway, they're having problems because now they'd have to buy a tarp to recover their roofs where Hurricane Charlie took the roofs off. And I was wondering, again, we're having problems with, we've got to worry about forest fires and just fire anyway because of debris laying everywhere, especially like on Sanibel Island, Captive Island, all around Pine Island. And that's the over $2 billion that was given to us by George Bush to his brother Jeb. And I'm wondering where the money went.
Well, where'd the money go indeed, Diana? And also, I guess I'm sure you know this, and our listeners ought to know this, our listeners from around the country and around the world, by the way. Did you see the hike in insurance rates in Florida?
Oh, yeah.
Nationwide insurance today asked for a 28% increase in insurance.
Well, heck yeah. And I'm telling you, I want the world to know out there because they're not local yokels like we are. But the schools down here that were destroyed, they're having to buy like old Kmarts and remodel them. And then they've got people feeling sorry for our children in our schools, sending supplies down out of their own money that they took up in donations to help our children have supplies and books. And yet, where's the other over $2 billion? And then Jeb goes to Iraq because he did such a good job down here. Come on, America, wake up.
Hey, Diana, thanks for your call.
All right, Guy.
Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah, a wild increase in insurance. Nationwide asking for 28%, several of them 22, 24%. Imagine that. You're a homeowner, you're on a fixed income here, you're paying, say, what, $1,500 a year insurance? Well, it's going to go way up, way up. You know, these insurance companies got a real racket. You pay premiums, and then when something happens, they make you pay that too. Wish I could have a racket like that. Let's go to the phones. Let's see John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Well, good evening, and I want to say hello to Diane. I always enjoy hearing her call. Insurance, in my view, is nothing but a Ponzi scheme, similar to what they say the Social Security is. And the government only wishes they could have a Ponzi scheme as good as these insurance companies.
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk about the troops and Mr. Fife, but before I do, there's a G8 economic forum that's been going on, and I happened to catch the actress, Sharon Stone, who somehow got a hold of a microphone in that audience. And the discussion had been about these mosquito nets that you can buy for $5 the last 5 years, and it'll help keep these young people, kids, and so forth from getting malaria over there in the African states. And this one president apparently was at this conference, along with Bill Gates and many other prominent people, and that he was up on stage. Sharon Stone stood up and said that this leader of this one country needs help right now. And she says, I'm going to donate $10,000 for these mosquito nets, and I challenge people in the audience to do the same. And one man stood up, and then it was difficult for other people to get up, and she kept urging them. And Bill Frist, I don't know what he's doing over there. He's supposed to be representing us here in our country. Tried to stop her from what she was doing. And, well, Mrs. Stone, that's a very nice thing and so forth. And at the end of the meeting, we'll take the names of people as they leave that want to donate. And she said, no, this man needs assistance right now. He needs AIDS right now. You people that want to match me, stand up. And then people started standing up in that crowd. And they raised $1 million on the spot. Now, my wife was watching the G8 meeting, a rerun on TV a little bit ago, and she said, a lot of these things they're discussing they won't put into effect until the year 2006 or 2007. But Mrs. Stone, bless her heart, got them moving a little faster on one item.
And Frist, a doctor,
yeah,
a medical man,
who
right?
Made, him and his father made their money fleecing people who needed medical help in the hospital conglomerates that they built.
Yeah.
This man is worse than Edwards, who they claimed was having trivial lawsuits of people that got hurt by these doctors. Now, I heard an interesting story about the training of the Iraqi troops. We've been training these troops, and it seems that the first time they were going to attack Fallujah, that was called off because, listen carefully, these Iraqis were trained to fight people from outside the country who invaded their country. And they wouldn't kill their own countrymen. And that's why they wouldn't go into Fallujah at that time. Now, maybe I should mention again, they were trained to kill intruders into their country. And I suppose that's why some of their deserters are doing such a good job killing our people now with a lot of more sophisticated methods that we trained them for.
Sure.
Taught them that.
Sure.
And I understand Mr. Fife is resigning the Pentagon. And an interview I heard on Sasha's show this week, a local show, she had a military person on there who said that when Fife goes, there's going to be a lot of other people go along with him, mostly these underlings who were probably contributors to the campaign, who were doing a lot of work for the Bush party and the Republican party. They're going to leave right along with him. Now, Fife is a lawyer. He has no military experience that I know of. There's never been mentioned in anything I've heard. And he's the guy who wrote the plan to go into Iraq. So this is why we have Rumsfeld's war going on with such ridiculous things going on. It never should have happened. Military men will tell you we shouldn't have gone in there. But we got lawyers and Mr. Rumsfeld who knows nothing.
Well, John, you know, the plain truth is, here we are where they're saying we're going to spread democracy. We're going to bring democracy to these people, and we don't even have it here. We've got a plain old-fashioned oligarchy going on here.
Exactly.
The control of our government is in the hands of maybe eight people.
Exactly. And why the American people keep going for this, I have no idea. I hear constantly, you're going to have maybe a couple of people calling tonight, that we shouldn't be insulting the president, we should respect the president. Condoleezza, well, if he wants Condoleezza, he should have the people he wants. No, we should have the people we want that are going to do what we would like to see done for this country. I'm tired of trying to do things for the rest of the world. I don't go over to my neighbors and tell them how to live, and I don't expect to go over to foreign countries and tell them how to live, and I don't expect the leadership of my country to go over there. And that's plain and simple. I don't know why people can't see that very clearly. But we have very poor representation in this country. We don't really have our constitutional rights. And the Declaration of Independence, if you read it, it's what they're doing to us now that the king was doing to us way back then.
Another King George.
You bet. And let me, in closing, ask you, I'm pondering, what does Halliburton, what is their business?
Well, they started out in the oil business.
Aren't they still in the oil business?
Oh, sure, but they've branched out. You know, they bought Kellogg, Brown, and Root,
mm-hmm.
and they're branched out. They'll do, and the plain fact is, we had somebody on the author of that book about Halliburton. They will do anything, and they'll put a... They are so big and so powerful that they'll put a bid in to the United States government for a job on something they've never even done before.
Right. And again, serving meals and doing laundry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're using subcontractors, so they're a middleman, and we're getting screwed for more millions in the process.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir, and it's a wonderful show.
Thank you. Good to hear from you, John. What do you think about the... What do you think about the election that's going on over in Iraq right now? Is it, well, maybe the polls are... Well, let me see. What is it? No, they'll just be opening over there pretty soon. I don't know what time in the morning they're going to open their polls, but people are going to be voting. Will a lot of people vote? Will they be intimidated by the violence that may occur? What will happen over there, and what will be the result? What will be the result of the vote over there tomorrow? You know what's going to be... There's two things we're hearing right now. There's two types of press we're getting from Iraq. First, we're getting the Bush propaganda. And make no mistake about it, what they're pushing right now is, and the only thing they're pushing is right now, we got them to have an election. We got them to have an election. It's the most important thing in the world. They were be able to go vote and vote themselves a democracy. Well, actually, what happens after that election is more important, far more important. Do you know, and I know many of my listeners, because my listeners are the most informed listeners on the radio, no question about it. But I'll ask the people from the right who are listening, because I know you don't know. Do you know that about 45 or 50% of the people over in Iraq now think they're voting for a new president tomorrow? And they're not. They're not. They're not voting for a new president tomorrow. They're voting for a new, let's call it a new legislature. That's what they're voting for. Do you know they don't know who they're voting for? No. They've got no names. They've got no pictures. They have no idea who they're voting for. So, they're going to the polls to vote for people they don't know, for people whose names they don't know. They do know what party they're in. Can you imagine trying to get away with that in our country? Well, go vote. Go vote. But I know you don't know who you're voting for, and I don't know why, and I know you don't know why, and I know all that. But vote anyway, because it's going to make George Bush look good. We want a lot of votes. And just how many people outside of Iraq are voting right now? How many? Are we keeping track? And someone asked an interesting question earlier. All those people voting here in this country, there are several polling places here in this country where the Iraqis are voting. Did they vote for George Bush, too? I wonder. But you know, there are a lot of Iraqis abroad. Not, well, only about 1.2 million, most of them in Iran, 43,000 or so in Iran. Believe it or not, 27,000 in Sweden, 27,000 in the United Kingdom, and about 26,000 in the United States, and all the way down to Canada's got about 10,000, and France has got about 1,000. So 1.2 million Iraqis. Even the El Presidente over in Iraq says he doesn't think a whole lot of people are going to vote because they will be intimidated. I don't blame him. If I was going to get my head blown off, I don't know about going out and voting either. I don't know how happy I'd be about it. But wait till they find out what they're voting for. And, oh, George, you can bet on Monday, I'm going to be standing up. See, there was an election. I promised you they would have an election, and they had one. Never mind it was a complete farce. Never mind that. Never mind they don't know who they were voting for. Never mind that. But they did have an election, and by golly, that's what's important. That's what Bush is going to try and do. That is exactly what he's up to with that. He's going to make his legacy. I think his legacy is going to be something else. I think his legacy is going to be for starting war on false pretext. That's what I think his legacy is going to be. I don't think he'll ever be able to escape that. I think someday, a lot more of the people of the United States will figure that out. Too late, but they will figure it out. Let's see. By the way, call us 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. You can call us from Collier County, 263-6570, and in Lee County, 479-5540. So give us a call. We'd be glad to hear what you have to say, what your thoughts are on this election coming up. You know, they're fond of saying that out of 18 provinces in Iraq, only four are where they're having a lot of trouble. So, and you know, this gives you some idea of the sinister nature of the Bush administration. You've heard this over and over and over again. Yeah, folks, there's 18 provinces in Iraq, and only four are giving you any trouble. So what's the big deal? What is the big deal? We've got 14 of those provinces calmed down, and they're just doing real good. Only trouble is half, 50% of the population is in the remaining four provinces where all the trouble is. You call that having control of the country? Do you? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Let's go to the phone. I'm not sure I've got this. Got line number four. Five. Okay, let's go to Jimmy in Fort Myers. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I was giving you a call on the insurance rates going up.
Mm-hmm. Are you an insurance agent, Jimmy?
No, I'm not an agent.
Okay.
No. If the paper that people are getting that they read there, if it talks about, you know, if they've had a claim aside from a disaster, their rates would go up. But if you have a disaster claim, your rate's not going to go up.
Really?
Yeah, that's what, you know, I mean, it's what I understand.
Oh, I didn't understand that at all. I thought it was going to be a blanket increase for everybody.
No. Only that, from what I understand from the insurance companies that I know, that there's a rate increase for people who have filed claims for maybe like a washing hose came apart and water damage to the floor and all that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
But if you had a hurricane come through, your rate wasn't going to go up if you hadn't filed a claim in 2 or 3 years.
So, Jimmy, I haven't had a claim.
Okay.
So what you're saying is, if my insurance goes up, in my humble abode,
mm-hmm.
I can send a bill over to you, right? I won't have to. I won't be expecting an increase then. That's what you're saying.
From what I understand from the insurance company, like I only know about two,
mm-hmm.
and those insurance companies are not rating or increasing rates on as blanket for a hurricane. For you know, that'd be, you know, they're what they're doing is they're raising people's rates who have filed, you know, repeatedly. From what I understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you're right.
And then, like a hurricane, they're not going to be raising everybody rates just because you turn in a hurricane claim.
Okay, all right.
I know one in particularly because I know the people there, and they said that no, it has nothing to do with the hurricane. It's only people who have filed for, you know, water loss from, like I said, like a washing machine hose or something like that.
Okay.
But for something like a hurricane, if they did a rate increase all the way across the board and blanket, that's totally, I think, absurd. But other than that, I mean, from what this one insurance company I know real well, they're not raising people's rates.
Oh, good. I'm going to take you at your word. I hope you're right, Jimmy.
Actually read the
okay.
people's paperwork because people have asked me on it.
Good.
And I looked at it and I'm like, oh, well, that's only if you've had this or this or this happen.
All right.
And from what I read. So, at
all
any
right.
rate.
Thanks for your call, Jimmy.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Good to hear from you.
All right, thank you.
Let's go on over to line number one. How about Jerry in Fort Myers? Hi, Jerry.
Hey, guy.
Yeah.
You are a great American.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Is that all you had to say? We're losing Jerry. Well, Jerry calls back. I don't know what happened to Jerry. Said I'm a great American. What's the best thing anybody said to me in the last 20 minutes? I'll tell you what. I don't know. Are we ready for a break right now? I guess we are. Ran over time just a little bit. You're listening to the Guy James Show, and don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere at all. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show.
Welcome to the Hot House Cafe. What can I get you?
Hello, Flo.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Wowfire. You're looking incendiary today. What can I get you, sweet pea?
Let's see. I'm so hungry I could consume a neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
I think I'll start with the toasted woodshake shingle sandwich.
All righty. Super salad, baby doll.
The backyard dry brush salad looks delicious. I'll have that.
Okie dokie, with or without succulents?
Without. You know I can't stand water-retaining plants.
Oh, that's right.
And for dessert, I like an old gazebo sundae, sprinkled with irreplaceable photos and family heirlooms.
Anything to drink, baby?
Lawnmower gasoline. Unless you have some carelessly stored paint thinner.
I think we just might.
Goody.
Knowing what Wildfire likes to eat is half the battle. Visit firewise.org to find out how you can help make your home more defensible against wildfires. That's firewise.org, a public service brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
It doesn't come any better than wholesome, delicious, and nutritious food fresh from Florida. And the safety of that food is important to everyone. You put your trust in Florida's farmers to keep a watchful eye on everything they produce. That's why from planting to harvesting, they work hard to provide safe and healthy food for you and your family. Because Florida farmers don't just grow the food, they serve it to their families too. Safe, affordable, and abundant. Food for thought from Florida's farmers. A message from the Florida Farm Bureau Federation.
The Laura Ingraham Show.
What a joke. I'm telling you, I would not get back in a defensive crouch on this issue. I would not start backpedaling on this stuff. I would say, look, we are dealing with an incredibly difficult situation. To spin this out into some great indictment of Alberto Gonzalez is a joke. It is an absolute travesty that good people and their names are being dragged into the mud for no reason when their goal is to protect American lives.
Laura Ingraham, weekday mornings at 9 and weeknights at 9 on Wing WNOG.
Heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, we're back with the Guy James Show, coming to you from Fort Myers, Florida, and Naples, Florida. Wink WNOG, 1240, 1270 AM. Glad to have you along with us this evening here. We'll be along with you until 10 o'clock Eastern Time. I'd like to say hello to all of our friends down in Bentley Village, down in Naples. Of course, our friends on DemocraticUnderground.com and Democrats.com, SmirkingChip.com, and a whole bunch of different websites. We're going to be listening to the program. Very glad to have you along with us. So glad to hear from you. Call us. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. 479-5540 here in Lee County and 263-6570 in Collier County. Always glad to hear what you have to say. Hey, what do you think? Can we trust any of these right-wing pundits anymore? Can we? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Salon Magazine yesterday revealed that a third conservative syndicated columnist has been paid off by the Bush administration. What do you think about that? What about our right-wing friends? Do you think that's okay? Do you? Michael McManus was paid $10,000 to promote Bush's marriage program, marriage initiative. The same program Maggie Gallagher was paid to promote, like Gallagher and Armstrong Williams and, you know, McManus failed to disclosed that he was on the administration's payroll. You know what? Isn't that the same thing as having to, I don't know, hang a pork chop around your neck to get the dog to follow you? I mean, isn't that the same thing? I think it is. I see where the Bush has paid 128% increase in PR. Why do they need so much PR? If he's so damn wonderful as a president of the United States, and if everything's so hunky-dory and Cheney and Rumsfeld and all of them are just so great, what do they need this PR for? Tell me. What? Huh? I mean, he's got the media on his side. You know that. You got right-wing rhetoric all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he's got to hire a PR firm. How many of those people, 24/7, how many are on his payroll? We don't know yet, do we? But it's drip, 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 just like they say. We're finding them one at a time, finding out these people are having, are being paid by the Bush administration to tout their initiatives. I think that is just, well, you know what I think it is. Let's go to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Maybe I can answer your question.
Yeah.
Why do they need people to promote them? Well, I think what happened this week? I mean, has he had good public, you know, with all the talk that's gone on, how many of our American soldiers were killed in Iraq?
Well, quite a few this week, that's for certain.
I mean, we lost, what was it, 30-something in one swoop, and then yeah. I think a whole bunch of others, it must have been about at least 50 to 60 lost just this week alone.
John, have you noticed how callous the entire public is getting right now? They're 5, 6, 8 in a day, and nobody says anything anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, the number you notice, which we, I keep asking you, they don't publicize anymore.
No.
The total.
You know, and here's something else. I know you've all seen these pictures of the wards in Walter Reed Hospital where all the guys are missing limbs and so forth and going out to rehab.
Oh, they don't count, do they?
Have we seen the ward where they've got all the vegetables at? And I don't mean tomatoes either, folks. I mean our servicemen who have lost it all. They're not dead. They're
Do
still
we care?
Evidently, America does not care. We haven't heard anything about that, have we? No.
I mean, what does the word support the troops mean? I mean, other than putting a decal on the back of a car.
That's what it means, John. I'm a fine American. I'm patriotic. I love the troops because I got that little ribbon on my car. That's what it means.
I mean, that's what support the troops means.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we've lost, I don't know how many. There was a bit, I think, on public radio about how devastated this one Marine area was where all these Marines were killed. I mean, they were just totally devastated, but nobody cares.
No, it's just a few more.
I mean, what did we do for the inauguration? We had parties.
Yeah.
$50 million to celebrate.
Live it up.
I mean, by the way, where's the sacrifice? Where's the sacrifice?
Well, maybe, you know, I don't think they cut back on the caviar. I don't think they cut back on the champagne. And I read where one woman had a $15,000 pink mink muff that she bought for $15,000. I guess she didn't have sacrificed too much either.
I mean, you know, we asked the same questions week after week after week. Then you came on in the beginning of the show talking about the fact that most of our senatorial leadership capsized, and I think, you know, I thought somebody ought to respond to that, and I thought I would. I think you're totally right.
Well, they bailed on us. They bailed on us. They're a bunch of cowards.
I mean, if you're going to be in opposition, you've got to stick together, you've got to focus, and let me tell you something, there is something to focus on, and that is the fact that war is going south. It isn't working. I mean, if we're going to hold an election, why is it that all the Iraqis that seem to be voting seem to be in this country or in Europe?
Yeah.
And why should these people be voting? How many of them are American citizens who are voting in the Iraq election?
Well, sure. You know, John, are we going to have any inkling whatsoever about how many true votes are over there? I mean, I don't think we will.
I mean, is this an honest election?
No.
I mean, they don't know who they're voting for. They don't know where the polling places are. It came over, I listened to another station from Tampa this morning, 970, which I listened to on Saturday mornings, and I recommend it to all your listening audience because it's a good radio show, and the talk show host Daniel Roos does a good job, and I think he takes a lot of the same points of view that you do.
Mm.
And I recommend it. I know I'm not supposed to, but I'm doing it. He's excellent. But the news at the top of the hour brought out, I think there's, I don't know, over 100 police uniforms that have been stolen, that have disappeared of the Iraqi police.
Yeah, but they're going to have an election, John.
Now,
that's all that counts.
If you're a terrorist and you can steal police uniforms, what's the message?
Yeah,
I mean,
indeed.
How easy is it to indeed. Terrorism? Who yeah. knows who the good guys are, the cops and the bad guys?
No.
I mean, this is safety?
No.
I mean, this is farcical what's going on. And then you ask a question before I come on the air, and I'm supposed to give you an honest answer of why he needs a PR firm. Well, it's obvious why he needs a PR firm.
Well, he's got Limbaugh and Hannity and O'Reilly.
But that's not enough.
Evidently not.
I mean, you've got to cover over this mess that's out there. And, you know, I brought up last week, and I want to be a broken record because nobody talks about this. But I talked to friends of mine who are with the ACLU here in Fort Myers today. And, by the way, they're mobilizing, too. And I asked the question, isn't this war illegal?
John, I did a lot of research on that very subject this week after you asked that question, and from what I can find, the top legal experts in the world, and you cannot count our government legal experts because they're just slightly biased, but from top legal experts in the entire world, all over the world, the answer as to whether or not this war is legal is a resounding no.
Well, if it's not legal, it's not moral, it's not even a success at this point, he absolutely needs that PR firm. Probably needs about 10 PR firms.
You're right there.
And I want to know, because, you know, let's talk this word conservative. Conservative means you conserve our values. If you're conserving our values, you are conserving what's in the Constitution of the United States. Am I correct?
You certainly are. You're talking values. You're talking morality. You're talking truth, honor, integrity, all the things United States government used to stand for. Do these guys stand for that, please?
And you're talking legality.
Yes.
If it is not constitutional, I'm suggesting, I'm not talking as a liberal at this moment. I'm talking as a true conservative, that you must follow the law. And if the powers that be that run this country are declaring war, taking people's lives, and not following the law as the Constitution of the United States, then they're not conservative, and they're not American, they're not anything. And then this war has not either got legal nor moral right to have taken place.
You know, John, I can't think of their names right now, but I'm just reading a story this afternoon. There were a couple of boys from, from Germany that when the war was over, there are two that planned the invasion of Poland and one of the other, the Czech invasion as well, as preemptive strikes, kind of like we did in Iraq. Those two guys were hung after the war was over because that was strictly illegal.
Well, if you take the rationale, and I guess we may be cut off before I finish the sentence, but if you take the rationale that we've just taken, the people leading this country could be described as war criminals.
I believe in many cases they are.
And, you know, all these people who talk about how wonderful the Bush administration and how moral they are, think of the amount of lives that have been taken on this preemptive war that we have just described as illegal and immoral. And as I said, March 19th, a lot of cities in this country are going to mobilize for, because that's, by the way, is the date that this country declared war. Not declared war, I'm sorry, because we never did.
Right.
It's the date we mobilized and attacked Iraq.
And you know, John, if I might interrupt, you and I, after your comments about this last weekend, I got an email calling you and I dirty raghead lovers. So there you go, John.
Well, I...
raghead lovers.
Excuse me. I'm not talking about loving them, doing it, but I'm talking about what's doing what's right. I'm talking about American values.
Well, and people trying to weave that in there, you know.
Well, you know, if we don't do what's right and set the moral example, which is what we did during World War II, I think the reason we won World War II was because we had right on our side. And yes, we were attacked, but we were not attacked by Iraq. People have to remember that fact. There was never the linkage. And they had to lie to try to establish that linkage, which they never could. So you had a preemptive war that was based on falsehoods. And then you don't follow the law of the land, there is something wrong.
Well, John, this, you know, it's sad to say, but the United States government right now is adrift in a sea of immorality and illegalities, and there's no way around that. It's true. This old saying, my country, right or wrong, people can do what they want to with that saying. It's not true. If my country's wrong, she is to be put right again. And we're on the wrong track now. I don't think there's any question about that, and I don't see the people mobilizing to get this country back on track the way we need to.
Well, you know something? Then we have to talk, and maybe the focus of your shows, I'd suggest to you, is how can we mobilize people right in this area to get us back on track, maybe to demonstrate on the 19th and say what this country is doing wrong. Is wrong, and we need to correct it. We need to follow our own constitution, our own law.
You're right, John. Hey, I got to move on. I thank you for an insightful call.
I thank you for the time, and I thank you for being here.
Thank you very much. Where, let me see here where we're going. Oh, we got Bill. Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill. Are you with us, Bill?
Hello, Guy.
Good to hear from you, Bill. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, John reminded me of this administration's regard for the truth. You remember right before we attacked Iraq and the president came on television and said, I don't have a plan to attack Iraq at my desk. That was right before the invasion.
That's exactly right.
The contempt of the truth is really appalling.
It is.
First of all, before I forget it, the lie of the week, unless you can come up with a better one, you know, Congress sent out polls to try to find out how the home district felt about this privatization plan, and it came back very bad. Nobody likes it.
I prefer to call it the speculation plan.
Speculation plan, I like that. And Rush Limbaugh, Thursday afternoon, said that the privatization plan of the president among the public is wildly popular. So that has to go down as the lie of the week from Mr. Limbaugh.
Well, you know, when you're in a drug stupor like Mr. Limbaugh has been much of the last decade, why, you know, you say things like that now and then.
Well, I'm starting to question whether our president is insane because, you know, a few months ago it was announced that one of the goals of the administration was to have the election in Iraq in late January, and every sane person thought that meant that the theater would be calm and secure enough, not perfect, but somewhat secure enough to have an election, and that would be a goal. But no, that's not what he meant. He meant he was going to have an election, even if the people were being blown up as it was going on, even though they're voting under duress.
Details. You get caught up in the details, Bill.
There was a wonderful speech by Senator Hillary Clinton this week, and I know some of your listeners don't really like her that much, but on health care, she said, how can we put billions of tax dollars to help senior citizens get their medicine? If we're going to use tax money, we should be making the plan more simple and making the drugs cheaper. And we failed to do both of those. So we're going to spend the money, and it's going to be more complicated, and the drugs aren't going to be any cheaper. And where's the money going? To the insurance companies and the pharmaceuticals. Now, they say Hillary has no chance, but I'm telling you what she said is the truth.
Well, the one, let's face it. I don't think there's any around it. Any way around it. The woman is an expert on healthcare. She is.
Yes. And if you go to, you know, the Republicans got their majority two ways. First, they tried to make the life of the black people miserable, the poor people miserable, and the gays miserable. And then when Hillary Care came along, Bill Kristol came up with a plan to sabotage health reform to get the majority, and Newt Gingrich went along with it. So they were lying to the public. They were supposed to be coming up, not agree with her, but come up with another plan, and then somewhere in the middle we'd have health reform. But the Republicans decided, thanks to Bill Kristol, to blow up health care reform to get power. Now they got power, and we don't have health care reform.
That's exactly right. They worked it real. And remember the term limits and all the good things we were going to have, his contract with America? Baloney.
Well, on this Judge Gonzalez, I was watching part of those hearings, and it's so blatantly obvious that the Bush administration wanted to send a signal to the military to start the torture. And there was a memo sent out under the control of Gonzalez. And when he was called before the Senate, Senator Kennedy asked him, why did they go from the memo that caused the torture to another memo now? What they call another operative memo, and he refused to answer. The judge would not answer the senator. And the senator said, will you find out where the paperwork is that you went from the memo for torture to a more neutral memo? And Gonzalez refused a senator to get that information.
Yes.
And that leads me to believe that we're going right into fascism.
Well,
where no one has to answer for what they're doing.
You're exactly right, Bill. He doesn't have to answer. He knows that. He knows the Republican Congress is going to rubber stamp him all the way through. And he also knows a good number of the Democrats are going to go right along with
it. Yes, and that's shameful to me.
It is.
The last thing was, on Social Security, the Democrats had a special hearing, which I was fortunate enough to watch on C-SPAN, and the Republicans are spinning it to say that the Democrats handpicked people from the Social Security Administration that don't believe we're in a crisis to make the president look bad, but that is not what the hearing was about. The president is directing the Social Security Administration to use propaganda to say, one, that Social Security is in a crisis, and two, we need to privatize. Now, this is against the law. The federal people are supposed to be neutral. They're supposed to spend their time explaining the benefits to the people. They're not supposed to be part of the political arm. So all next week, wait and hear Rush Limbaugh and Hannity are going to say that it was all about whether or not it was secure. It wasn't about secure. It was about the administration misusing the Social Security Administration.
Well, they've misused every other department. No reason to leave them out.
And who gets the prize for undermining Social Security? Bill Clinton. Suppose we had a surplus and the Republicans demanded a tax cut. Bill Clinton said, save Social Security first. And they said, no, give us our tax cut. They got the tax cut, and now they're going to turn around and try to destroy Social Security. And There are, to me, the more wealthy Republicans are nothing but hogs in the trough.
Well, being a farm boy, I know what those hogs in the trough look like. I really do. Hey, Bill, okay, thanks for your call.
Thank
appreciate
so
it very, very much. Those of you that are on the phone right now, I'm going to ask you to hang on until after the news. I don't want to cut anybody short. We're coming up. We got about a minute until the top of the hour until we have to break for the news. I'd like to know from my good Democrat friends, I really would like to know what you think about what went on this week. I'm, believe me, really terribly disappointed about what went down this week with the vote on Condoleezza Rice. I really am. I don't say that to, you know, I talked about her earlier in the show. I don't say that to raise people's temperatures. I don't say that to disparage the woman. I say it because it's the truth. And I am so upset with the Democrats in the Senate who talked out of both sides of their mouths on that issue. They really did. As, you know, they go home to their constituency and say, yeah, boy, that Rice, she's not any good, and all this, that, and the other thing. And yet, they go vote to confirm her. I don't understand that. If you do, give me a call. I'd like to hear what you have to say about it. I really would. Well, we're going to pause for news at the top of the hour coming up. Hang on the phone, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. And we'll get to your calls right after the news. You're listening to Wink WNOG. We'll be right back after the news.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Weather and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
CBS News. I'm Dave Barron. What will we hear more of in Iraq? This? The sound of a polling place being readied for voters in Sadr City. Or will there be more of this? Gunfire like there was at Baghdad's al-Rashid Bridge. CBS's Dan Rather is in the Iraqi capital.
Just hours from now, voting begins in Iraq's first multi-party election in generations. The brutal fact is, blood will be shed. And the threat of violence may well keep many Iraqis, especially Sunnis, away from the polls. Here's the latest. A mortar attack tonight on the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad killed two Americans and injured five. At least 17 Iraqis died in dozens of attacks across the country. In Basra, four patrol cars and hundreds of police uniforms are missing, possibly stolen by rebels planning to slip through checkpoints.
Security forces are trying to head off more problems a couple hundred miles north of Baghdad. Here's correspondent Kimberly Dozier.
Every polling station in Mosul is ringed with security several layers deep. New guard posts have sprung up on rooftops, and roadways leading to polling stations are closed. Mosul's commanding general, Carter Ham, has been out reviewing troops, Iraqi and American. It's easy to get around with all vehicle traffic banned.
Just a few hours to go before free elections begin, Fawad Ajami is a Mideast expert and a CBS News consultant.
If the Iraqis themselves turn out in record numbers, if the Iraqis believe in this process, it will be fine. Because let's face it, in large parts of the world, in Europe, in the Arab world, this is just seen as just an American cover over the mayhem of Iraq.
She was remembered as a young woman who made people smile and laugh. Megan Holden was kidnapped 10 days ago from a Walmart parking lot in Tyler, Texas. Her body was later found in a ditch 380 miles away. Today, more than 1,000 people turned out in Tyler for a memorial service. Photos of Holden in a softball uniform at her sister's wedding and enjoying life with her friends were on display near the 19-year-old's coffin. In Georgia, 100,000-plus customers have been without power today because of the snow and ice and freezing rain. More from CBS's Mark Strassman.
Atlanta's airport had to cancel hundreds of flights. And like any disruption at this major hub, this one cascaded through America's aviation system. Stranded travelers either slept or hatched Plan B.
Here we are, standing in line to see if we can get our luggage, possibly get a rental car, to get somewhere. I don't know where.
For Southerners who've never cottoned to real winter, the good news is in the forecast. Above freezing temperatures and an end to all this slip-sliding should be here tomorrow.
This is CBS News.
I have.
Can prayer contribute in a practical way to recovery and restoration following the tsunami devastation? How can your prayers bring increased hope, health, effective aid, and restoration? Hear compelling experiences and pertinent prayer from people who have seen spiritual power work on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel.
Sponsored by First Church of Christ Scientist Naples. Listen in on Sunday mornings at 8 on Wink WNOG for the Christian Science Sentinel radio show.
Domestic violence can result in major injury or even death in what should be the safest place of all, the home. That's why the Florida legislature passed the Family Protection Act, which was recently signed into law by Governor Jeb Bush. People who commit acts of domestic violence will now face even tougher penalties, including mandatory jail terms and much larger fines. Don't make the mistake of bringing domestic violence into your home, or you'll find yourself in a new home with bars.
This message is brought to you by the Executive Office of the Governor, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, Guy James here with you on Wink WNOG on this beautiful Saturday evening here in Paradise in Southwest Florida. So glad to have you along with us. It's about, oh, I don't know, about 70 degrees outside. It was a beautiful day here. It really was. Sun shining. That's all that matters to me. I don't care if it's zero out, so long as the sun's shining. That means so much. Hey, all of our local folks, you can check out our site, www.theguyjamesshow.com, and you might even be able to donate to the program on there. That's how we keep this program going, you know, by your donations. And I do want to give a big thank you, and I'll mention some of your names a little later on that have donated to the program. I'm so grateful to all of you. And I want to say a particular good thing, a big thank you to our folks, our friends, our good friends down at Bentley Village down in Naples. I've got so much to talk about. I don't know where to start next, but 888-602-7500-7501-0203-04, toll free. That's our nickel. And 263-6570 if you're down in Naples, 479-5540 here in Lee County and points north. And, well, I was going to talk about something else for a minute, but I've got two guys on the phone who are just hot to trot to talk about these media payoffs, which I think is one of the biggest scandals of the Bush administration. Let's go to Julio, and we'll get to the other line in just a moment. Hi, Julio.
Hey, what's up, Guy?
Hey, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, man. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, where have you been, Julio?
Well, you changed your times.
Yeah, I did.
Hey, man. Well, I wanted to talk about, yeah, well, you were talking about the journalists being paid off. You know, and I think that kind of ties in with the Condoleezza Rice thing. Because what that shows, what's being shown more and more to me is that there's only one party in this country. You know, I mean, how this woman, how anybody, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, could have voted for this woman to even be a dog catcher. You know what I'm saying? But
I've tried my best to be objective and stand back from politics and look at this. And with her record, I'm not saying she's not intelligent, because she is, but with her record so far, I'm astonished that anybody could put her up for Secretary of State. I really am.
Right, yeah. And then to me, with the journalist thing, it's the same thing. Why aren't Democrats talking about this? Like every day, you know, three or four times a day.
You know what they're doing? You know what they're doing, Julio. They're riding the fence.
Right.
They're riding the fence so the moderate voters back in their home constituencies, they can say, well, you know, that, well, I voted for Condoleezza Rice because, you know, I'm a very rational man and I'm
right.
A woman. Yeah.
And that's awful. And as far as, like, the legality of the war, I look at it this way. If you and I are standing in front of the broadcast building, right, and we see an Arab guy standing across the street, and I look at you and I say, you know what, I think he has a bomb on him. And I walk up to him and I shoot him in the head. And then afterwards, we start searching him, and we figure out, you know what, he doesn't have any explosives on him. What do you think would happen to me?
I didn't know. I know it would happen, but...
would they give me an award for freedom?
Well, that some people get them for that, yeah.
Right, you know, and it's like, I stand on the position that the majority of this country is against this war, and I use this rationale. All right, if the night before the election, George W. Bush would have come out and said, you know what, country, you know, this war on terrorism thing is going to be hard, it's going to be a lot harder than I thought it was, we need more soldiers, and the only way we can win is if we reinstitute the draft so we all can, you know, pitch in and fight this war. Do you think he would have won the election?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Well, not my son. You're not drafting my son and send him to that war. You send all the poor folks. You send
right.
all the Hispanics and the black people over there, and the other people don't have a job, but you're not taking my son and
right.
send him over
and
there.
That, and that, to me, proves that the majority of this country is against this war.
You bet.
You're just not being asked to sacrifice anything. You don't have to give up any more taxes. You don't have to send your own kids. All you have to do is sit back and watch TV and just enjoy the show. You know, you don't even have to worry about it. We're not even going to show you any pictures. We're not going to show you any dead bodies. We're not going to show you any coffins coming back. No worries. You know, you get your tax cut. You know, you watch football, and everything else is a piece of cake. You
oh,
don't have to,
you know,
no stress.
Think of the self-centeredness and the greed. Yeah, the parents right now are not sacrificing anything, but they're going to make their kids pay the tax bill.
Right. And you know, and going back to, like, the journalist thing, you know, it kind of makes you wonder who's being paid off, because you every single time, it could be the most fringe group in the world, okay, but any single time, anytime something happens, you know, the right wing pins it on liberals. It could be the most whacked out person, you know, in East Asia, and I'm like, oh, well, you see, that's because of liberals.
Yeah.
You know, and then this week there were stories about, you know, these people who are trying to ban SpongeBob SquarePants. And other shows on, I'm like, why aren't these people being targeted and shown to be, this is what the Republican Party is, this is what they want. They want to control what you watch on TV, they don't care if you want to see it, if they think that it's immoral or that it's not good for you, they want to take it away from you, and basically, yeah, I mean, basically control everything that is on TV. Why aren't these people being exposed? I mean, when you're sitting there on national TV trying to break down the content of SpongeBob SquarePants, which I watch a lot with my son, all right, when you're trying to rationalize a cartoon, you know, as to where it's coming from and what are the, you know, hidden messages in it, you know, that's when you're going to another level that, you know, I think frightens people.
Well, you know, I think we've hit a new low when we start attacking poor SpongeBob SquarePants and for God's sake, Tinky Winky.
Yeah, no, it's awful. And if I could just say one more thing about Kennedy, the right wing also this week, they've been, you know, saying Kennedy, that they've actually accused him of treason, you know, putting the troops in danger because of his comments. I'd like to ask any Republican listening, okay, what do you think was more damaging to the troops? Whatever Kennedy has said this week or last week or whatever, any quote that you can find of him saying, or the Bush or Bush standing on national TV telling the world, bring it on.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was more dangerous to the troops? You know, what was more damaging? What put them in harm's way more?
I certainly think we know the answer to that one. Or even sending them over there without the proper armor.
Or that, or, you know, telling them that you're going for this thing, but now it's that thing.
Sure.
And you know what? Sean Hannity, like his book, you know, when he wrote, you know, and defeating terrorism, despotism, and liberalism, the way that he tried to play it off is that liberalism, well, it's not liberals, it's their policies. It's liberal policy that we need to defeat. Well, now that we're not in Iraq for weapons of mass destruction, which they've already admitted, okay, what type of policy is this in Iraq? It's a liberal policy. Okay, we're there to help people using government programs, okay, to try and help poor people defeat oppression. Isn't that what liberalism is?
Well,
conservatism is let them help themselves. You know, they got themselves in their mess. Let them pull themselves up by their bootstraps, defeat that dictator, and they can fix it themselves. What do we need to do it for them? Why do they need the government to help them?
Well, what do you think? If they get the right people in there, are they going to tell the United States to leave? And the better question is, if they tell the United States military to leave, will the United States military leave?
Okay, how can you believe anything they say? I mean, they said, you know, when we find Saddam, the killing will go down, you know. When we transfer the power, the killing will go down.
Yeah.
You know, when the election comes up, then they'll know the country's there. Then the killing will go down. It's like, okay, when exactly is the killing supposed to go down, you know?
Maybe after the election, we'll finally get those flowers thrown at the troops they were finally talking about, huh?
Right, and you know what the sad thing is, that either there was something very sinister behind the whole thing, or they actually believed that. That was their plan. You know, that, well, we don't have to plan for all these horrible things that are gonna happen, because they're gonna love us. You know, what's awful is, you know, there were reports a couple months ago that our army, you know, the most powerful, richest army in the world, was running out of bullets. I don't know if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thought to myself, okay, we're the richest country in the world, and we're running out of bullets. These people, the insurgents who are fighting us, have been setting off bombs for over a year now, right? Where are they getting all these explosives from?
They seem to have an unlimited supply, and like you say, the richest country on earth running out of bullets. It's it is obscene.
It doesn't make much sense,
no.
Though, right? I mean,
no.
Where are they getting all these explosives from? From where, you know? And then you start thinking, you know, all that looting and everything, and they kept showing you the museums that were being looted, but what else was being looted?
And here's Condoleezza Rice, head of the National Security. People are supposed to know what was happening with all that stuff. Here she is getting a promotion.
Right.
Go
right.
Figure.
And
Julio.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, guy.
I got to move on. I got to move on.
All right, man. Take it easy, man.
Thanks for a great call.
All right, boy.
There's a guy that always knows what he's talking about. Hey, boy, Dave's been on the phone for half a day here. Hi, Dave.
Everybody called in with a 30-minute prepared speech for you.
How are you, Dave?
Really great, brother. You know, one, though, I am convinced, and more that Bush never got elected. Take away the machines and what else, and he lost big time. All over the world, the people are saying, how could so many Americans be so stupid? And, you know, we got a lot of stupid Americans, but not that many, Guy.
Stupid and stubborn.
Yeah, I, you know, Bush every once in a while, in one of his Freudian slips, blurts out something that comes real close to the truth, and he just did another one. I gather you people can access it. You have the kind of skills there to do it. But he said, how many a year ago would have thought that tomorrow in Iraq there would be a fair erection?
Yes, right. That is what he said. Yeah, I heard that.
No, that's just about what the Iraqi people are about to get subjected to.
Yes, right? You're exactly right.
And my knowledge of how they do elections, I dare say, even though they don't start voting till tomorrow, the ballots have already been counted. They know who they've got where and why, and these people are going to go out, you know, risking their life with bombers and bazookas and exploding cars and everything to try to vote, thinking that they're going to have a say in what's happening.
I'm suffering from no notion whatsoever that that there'll be any kind of a fair vote, an accurate vote.
No. Point that I'd wanted to call, and Julio did touch on it when I first did dial you up, was that you are so, you know, logical, reasonable, honest, rational, right on. You tell things as they are, and why do people end up seeing a totally opposite viewpoint? And, you know, it has to be that these paid, hired spin doctors that are, you know, imposing their distortions, their hate, their appealing to prejudices, fears, and whatnot, has got a lot of people believing that they're exposed to the truth. You know, Limbaugh has told them that the excellence in broadcasting, the 99-point-something% accurate, and that's their messages. You are the ones that really know because you listen to my show, and they don't. Evidence is not something they even dabble in.
Well, you know, Dave, they had that University of Maryland program on international policy attitudes, I believe it was. 72% of Republicans believed Iraq had actual weapons of mass destruction, even after it had been widely reported that Bush administration.
Because that's one of the talking points.
Yeah.
Every Republican spinster is supposed to, in the same sentence in which he talks about 9/11, throw in the word Iraq.
Well, Dave, here's another stat that I read this week, and I had to read it over and over again because I wasn't sure I understood it right, but finally I think I do. The Pew Research Center, which those people are fairly, they're fair. 66% of Republicans say, and this just really blew me away, 66% of Republicans say we should all be willing to fight for our country, whether it is right or wrong. Now, think about that. We should be willing to fight and die for our country, whether it is right or wrong. My God, what kind of a moron would say a thing like that? I mean, and 66%.
You know, there was a song back when the Vietnam War was early and we were teenagers by Donovan of the Universal Soldier, because he really is to blame. There is a burden on us, you know, the average person, to think, am I doing right? Just to ask the question, did Iraq invade us? Am I doing the right thing defending my country against them? Oh, no. Actually, I'm invading Iraq, shooting people over there who are trying to defend their country. People should have to think that out.
Well, they should have to think that out, and they should have to sit, you know, they should have to answer this question. 66% of them thinking they should, you know, fight right or wrong. Do you want to give up the life of your kid? Do you want to give up the life of your son or daughter for a war you believed was absolutely boneheaded? Do you?
I don't believe boneheaded. I believe it was a planned thing from the longest time. It went back to PNAC. They wanted to take the oil assets of Iraq, and that is exactly where we sent our army. It is for the profits of the Halliburtons and the Bechtel and the Mobil Exxon. These are people making a fortune over this, and that's exactly why they're there, and they are psychopaths. They could care less about how many people get killed. I'm even convinced that they staged an event on 9/11 to justify it, to get people behind them, so ever since that they could say, everything's changed since 9/11. Now we can stick you with the Patriot Act. Now we can invade countries. Now we can, you know, because, well, that's my thinking. I know you don't want to go there.
Well, Dave, as you know, I don't want to go there. I don't want to think that. I can't make my brain go there. I really can't.
We got some serious sicko people in this White House.
Well, there's no question about that. The PNAC group. If every American citizen should be made to read the entire website. I don't know if it's still up or not, the Progress for a New American Century.
Yeah, it is. You can
is
still
it still up?
It.
Every American should go there and read that and then come back and tell me that doesn't scare hell out of you. Mm.
We will need a new Pearl Harbor type of event to justify invading Iraq.
That's exactly
That's
what they
their
said.
Plan.
Their words. Their words.
And, you know, and I don't know how do you compute that. How do you whole military, rapid response, military defense sit on the ground for an hour and a half while this is going on?
Well,
how does that happen?
You know, Dave, you always mention that when you call, and I agree. It's almost inconceivable that some of the things that happened that day happened. But
how close they are to the Arabs, and all the hijackers were Arabs. Why are 160-some Arabs permitted to fly around and out of the country right after this?
Well, and related to that, why are we fighting for democracy in Iraq right now when one of the least democratic countries in the world is their good friends Prince Bandar in Saudi Arabia?
You think it's as bad in Arabia as it is in that country that you and I are living in?
Well, they've got human rights violation up the yin-yang, as we like
to
say.
Yeah, they do. They chop your hands off and things like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think for us in democracy, they went two different directions.
Well, I certainly agree with that. Dave, thanks so much
for
your call.
Thank you so much, Guy. I didn't mean to talk so long.
Thank
Stop
you.
It.
You know, if you're willing to sacrifice your own kid for a war that's wrong, if you think it's your obligation to say to Uncle Sam, George Bush, or whoever the president happens to be, yes, sir, I'll go to war and fight no matter what, whether the war's right or wrong, yes, sir, I'll do it, that's not patriotism. That's stupidity. That's what it is. Let's go to Dan in Fort Myers. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Guy. How are you?
Good.
Good show. It kind of threw me for a spin, the time change there, but I'm getting used to it now.
Attaboy.
I wanted to ask you about that. I was listening to Rush Limbaugh this week, the local South Florida drug guy, and I was wondering if there's any comparison between Rush and the, who was it, a couple of weeks ago in the local news press I read about the Democratic Party head in Collier County was arrested with 11 pounds of marijuana in his house?
Hmm. Don't know anything about that.
It seemed that, that went away real quick. Yeah, one of your Democratic guys found me. I got busted.
No, you're absolutely wrong about that. I know the Democratic head of Collier County, and you couldn't be farther off than that. There's no.
It was in the news press.
No, wait a minute, Dan.
Okay.
That's absolutely not true. Absolutely not true. I know the leadership of the Democratic organization in Collier County, each and every one of them, very well.
Right.
And that's absolutely a falsehood.
Actually, it was 11 pounds.
Yeah, and who had it?
This was in the news press. Hey,
Dan, we're not going to let that pass. Dan, we're not going to let you call this show and say something like that when it's an out-and-out lie. You know it's a lie. I know it's a lie. But, as you right-wingers like to do, and nice try, Dan. Nice try. But, I'm just going to get rid of that. I'm going to call here and say something like that about the leadership. I happen to know each and every one of them. It's an out-and-out lie, a falsehood. And don't you know, if it was true, wouldn't the Republicans love that? But, you see, that's what we put up with. If you say it enough times, it becomes true. If you find that Rush Limbaugh is a drug addict, which he admittedly is a drug addict, then we have to disparage someone else, true or not true. In this case, absolutely not true. Then we have to do it. If one of our right-wing radio personalities, for example, is a sexual deviant, like proven sexual deviant, like Bill O'Reilly, for example, then we have to try and make up for it and disparage someone else. If one of the leaders of our party, one of the most self-righteous moral people on earth, Bill Bennett, is found to be a gambling addict, why, then we have to go disparage someone else. I dare you to find anybody in the leadership of the Democratic Party or the hierarchy of the liberal press or media that you're always talking about. I dare you to find anybody that's got a record like those three boys I just mentioned. Want to try me on that? Go ahead. Eric in Vermont. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Guy. How you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm pretty darn good, Eric. How about yourself? How are things in Vermont?
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
I was just talking to Ron about that. I don't know. You were talking about the project for the New American Century, PNAC.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 15 minutes. Do you have a chance to read the letter to Congress on increasing U.S. ground forces dated January 28th that were sent to Frist, Reid, Hastert, and Pelosi? Have you had an opportunity
to
look at that, sir?
Sure.
If it would be all right, I'd like to make a couple comments, sir.
You go right ahead.
Great. Basically, they're sending it out, and they have like four or five ex-military. They got couple three-star generals, signatories, maybe two-star general. Most all the rest are civilians. And they go through the whole process, and they quote the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, placing the power and duty to raise and support military forces for the United States in the hands of the Congress. Then they go in the previous area of their letter that they're sending, requesting to more troops, a troop increase. The troops that we have now are too small, and it's the responsibility of the Congress to increase the troop level. And I'd like to quote, if I might, please. And, for example, just late last month, Lieutenant General James Hemley, Chief of the Armed Reserve, reported that overuse in Iraq and Afghanistan could be leading to a broken force. Yet, after almost 2 years in Iraq and almost 3 years in Afghanistan, it should be evident that our engagement in the greater Middle East is truly, in Condoleezza Rice's term, a generational commitment. The only way to fulfill the military aspect of this commitment is by increasing the size of the force available to our civilian leadership. And I'm sure you well know that some of these guys and some of the letters that are sent out with some of the various signatories are extremely exposing. I think they've starting to open up the shell a little bit and getting out, and for whatever reason, I don't know. But, I mean, basically, to increase our troop strength, I mean, they're either going to have to raise recruitment and or re-enlist incentives, or the draft, or I'm not sure exactly what other alternatives they have. But this whole idea of the generational subscript. In my mind, wars that they want to have is very, very, very alarming to me, and I think the American people.
Well, who did we hear the other day say, which one of them was it? Which Republican was it the other day said this? Oh, Newt Gingrich. Gingrich.
Oh, yeah.
Said this will last from 30 to 70 years, he said. I mean, geez, 30 to 70 years. Yeah, that's what he said. It's so matter-of-factly.
Oh, yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, I got a strange call from the people at, who is it? Can't remember. From New Hampshire, Democratic, he's been in there, he's about 82 years old, and they've been doing a big thing on Social Security in terms of phone calls, and they're connecting a lot of this together, but I can't remember what it is, so I might as well keep my mouth shut. But anyway, so I think it's really important that the PNAC gets really blown out there because, I mean, as we say, I mean, Gonzalez is lying his brains out, Connie's lying her brains out, and, you know, Democrats really got to sit up there and start hitting the ball a little bit stronger than they are. I mean, I can't sit there and imagine what's going on in, for example, one of my senators is Senator Leahy. Well, I can say, okay, yeah, he's on the Judiciary Committee. Maybe he's, like, holding back on this one so he can sit there and have a little more impact in being the ranking member of the Judiciary. But, I mean, that's all, like, you know, Monday morning pundit.
That's right.
I don't know what these guys are doing. It just doesn't look like they're doing an awful lot.
Show some fire. Show some guts. Show some character. Show some truth to the people in the party. That's what I want to see.
I fully agree with you, Guy.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you for being on, sir.
Thank you. Great to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
You know, I know a lot of people, especially our friends from the right. We talk about the progress from New American Century Group. And if you read that, folks, and people like Bill Kristol, Jeb Bush, Rumsfeld, Cheney, all signed that wonderful document. All members of that club who planned on going after the Middle East a long time ago. In fact, they showed their plan to Bush 1. Listen to what I'm telling you. They showed their plan to Bush 1, the PNAC group did, and Bush 1, this boy's father, threw him out of the office and said, "You're crazy." And from then after on, then thereafter, that group by Bush 1 was called the Crazies. And here he's got his son letting them write foreign policy right now. You tell me. Bush 1 was smart enough to know these people are crazy, and his son is using them to formulate foreign policy. Oh, my. Hey, I just picked up a little something here. You know, we're always talking about these wild right-wingers on TV and about how they always tell the truth and how they... For my right-wing friends that follow Hannity and Limbaugh and Bortz and all those people, Mike Savage and Gallagher and God only knows what other wacky guys that are out there on the radio and TV. They always tell me how they tell the truth and they always know everything. I wanted to play you just a little clip here from one of our favorite white right-wingers, if I can find it here. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Annie Coulter. Annie Coulter was on a Canadian TV program very recently. Uh-huh. And you know how she's always brags about how she knows everything. Listen to this and see if... I love this.
When we were...
Why you
Hannity
said that,
comes
that way.
Discussing the anti-war protesters.
Yeah.
Canada used to be one of our most loyal friends, and vice versa. I mean, Canada sent troops to Vietnam. Was Vietnam less containable and more of a threat?
No, actually, Canada did not send troops to Vietnam.
I don't think that's right.
Canada did not send troops to Vietnam.
Indochina?
No. Canada, Second World War, of course. Korea? Yes.
Vietnam, think you're wrong.
No, it took a pass on Vietnam.
I think you're wrong.
No, Australia was there, not Canada.
I think Canada sent troops.
No.
Well, I'll get back to you on
it. Okay. Coulter never got back to us. But for the record, like Iraq, Canada sent no troops to Vietnam.
So there's your brainy expert right there. Brainy expert and the man Coulter, who seems to know everything. And so many of you swear by her how she's so learned. Canada sent troops to Vietnam. I know a 6-year-old that knew better than that. And there's one of your really smartest one of the very smartest, you say, right-wingers, telling how rewriting history, as she is used to doing. Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now and collect our thoughts after listening to Ann the Man Coulter. And we'll be right back, so don't go anywhere. Hey, and I do want to remind you one thing. Call your friends. If you're listening to the show right now, call your friends to tune in, because we got a segment of Republican Love coming up a little later on in the program. We'll be right back.
A Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wing WNOG.
Now, 2004 was Southern and Nissan's biggest year. We sold more new Nissans because we sold them for less. Well, we're going to get bigger in 2005, bigger savings. We will not let any other Nissan dealer take our title as king of Altima value. Don't pay over $20,000 for your all-new 05 Altima. $15,988, that's all you pay. And that's why we say at Sutherland, when the price ends in 88, savings are great. $15,988 loaded. Stereo CD, tilt, cruise, factory air. Power everywhere. Naples, I'm not kidding. Lehigh Acres, more than fair. When you buy a new Nissan at Sutherland, there's always a happy ending because you always save extra dollars, and that happens every day. The Sutherland Way. Smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers on US 41 south of Bell Tower Shops on Tamiami Trail. Your all-new 05 loaded Altima. $15,988 at Florida's true king of Altima value. Sutherland Nissan today. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
Vince 282314 and 281277. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts plus government taxes, finance, dock prep, and emission fees.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street.
Yo, what's up, baby? Want to learn some history?
I got live learning, beautiful books inside.
And don't expect anyone to just offer you an education.
Who needs a high school diploma, huh?
Unfortunately, you can't buy a diploma from some guy with a briefcase. But there is one way you can get the educational skills you and your family need for free, with free family learning programs. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free GED, computer training classes, and other family learning programs. That's 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
After all, you can't get your education on the street. Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. The first step to a better life. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
If your employer offers life insurance as part of a benefits package, you may wonder if you need your own personal policy. Today, insurance advisor Bud Schiff sheds some light on the subject.
What I find is with my clients, when I talk to them, they should be looking at their overall picture. If they can get part of that insurance through their employer on a good basis cost-wise, they should take advantage of that, but it needs to fit into their entire picture.
Would it be fair to say that some people may be making a mistake by not owning a personal policy in addition to coverage they have through work?
Personal insurance that they own is something that they own, they control, and it's something that they will always have whether they remain employed or not. Sometimes if they buy their insurance through the employer, that coverage only lasts as long as they are part with that employer. Combination of both is often a wise choice.
This Financial Security News Minute has been brought to you by the Life and Health Insurance Foundation for Education.
Your house can win the fight? Visit firewise.org to find out how you can help make your home more defensible against wildfires. Firewise.org, a public service brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Oh, yes, the Guy James Show on here with you. Hope there's millions of you out there in the evening. You know, we need millions to combat the right-wing crazies that are on 24-7. We really do. www.theguyjamesshow.com for all of you driving down Route 75 here in Interstate 75 and never heard the program. Check out our website. And you want to donate to the show, you can do that now. Let me be very clear about something here. Although you can donate to this program at www.theguyjamesshow.com, we do not work for the DNC. We do not work for the Democratic Party. We get no checks from the Democratic Party or any branches thereof. Unlike other pundits and media that are on radio, TV, and in the newspapers, and I'm talking about our Republican friends, who it's not good enough that they control the media, lock, stock, and barrel, 40,000 hours a week of right-wing programming to 2,000 of those of us from the left, 40,000 to 2. That isn't good enough for them. They've got to hire people like Walter Williams, Walter Armstrong, rather, pardon me, Walter Williams, like the Armstrong character and like this McManus character and the other one I can't think of right now, being paid to go out and hawk the programs for the Bush administration. What's wrong with that picture? What's wrong with a newspaper columnist, for example, writing a column in your newspaper talking about the No Child Left Behind Act, and you're reading this going, you know, this guy likes this, and this guy's smart, and everything, and then you find out he was paid to write it. What about when you hear some of the leadership get on the radio and you think, you hear them and you go, gee, they really believe in this No Child. And then you find out that Walter Armstrong got paid to get him on the radio and talk about that. What does that make you think? You know, do you understand what's going on here? You know, after hundreds, perhaps, and now let me give you the numbers before I start talking about something running off the head. You know I like to do that. 888-602-7500-7501-7502-03-04. Love to hear from you. 263-6570 if you are in Collier County, beautiful Naples, Florida, and down that area, or 479-5540 here in beautiful Fort Myers area, Florida. Yeah, I was jotting down some notes the other day after hundreds and maybe even thousands of hours, like I said, listening to fellow citizens talk about their understanding of our present situation here in the U.S. I've come to the conclusion that many, if not most Americans, don't really have a clear idea of what's really happening to the country right now. It'd be easy to look at the situation and say that right now, and it would. I know I'm going to offend people by saying this, but it would be easy to look at the situation we're in and say we're a nation of cowards. Because so few of us are willing to stand up to the government and demand that we change this destructive course we're on. Everybody just laying back going, oh, well, it's okay, I'll let somebody else do it. You know, millions of us should be taken to the street like we did when we knew the Vietnam War was an ongoing catastrophe and it was doomed to failure. We took to the streets. Oh, yeah, some Americans were just fine with the Vietnam War, but history has shown that they were wrong as wrong can be. And so was Lyndon Johnson, and so was Richard Nixon, and anybody else had to do with promoting that war. You know, now we're involved in another Vietnam-type war. It's obvious. It's absolutely unwinnable. But just like Vietnam, there are those who back this president and his misguided agenda till hell freezes over, but they're wrong, and the body count from Iraq is proving it every single day. The attitude of the Iraqi people is proving it, and the position of the rest of the free world is proving it as well. You know, it's known to everyone that thinks about it, that the Bush administration rules with fear. That's how they do it. They have knowledge that very many of our, it bothers me. So we know that so many of our professional military and intelligence people were against this war from the very beginning. Because they knew enough about it. They knew enough about the situation in Iraq and how things go over there to predict exactly what's happening right now. Many, you know, a lot of you think this was a mystery. It was no mystery to the people that really knew what was going on in Iraq, to the high-up military people that told Bush we shouldn't do this. None of what's happening right now is a surprise. None of it. But they valued their careers, and so they kept their mouths shut. That's the way it works in Washington. Shut up and do your job if you know what's good for you, if you're a career military or a career bureaucrat. Keep your mouth shut. You know, now and then some courageous bureaucrat comes forth and tells the truth about what's going on, but they're usually vilified by the administration until they go away or shut up. Fear is what the Bush administration uses so well. They've done it from the very beginning, and all the bureaucrats in Washington are now fully aware of the fact that if you say something the Bushes don't like, your head is going to be on the chopping block, and you can just take that to the bank. What a shameful way to run a country. What a shameful way for the citizens of this country to act, or should I say not act. And we're not acting right now. How can it be that 292 million of us have allowed the president, who sees himself as Churchill, Roosevelt, Caesar, and General Patton all rolled into one, how can it be that we've allowed him and maybe seven or eight other people to completely control this government? The checks and balances are gone. How can it be that so few people have grabbed so much power in what's supposed to be a democracy? How have so many Americans become such poor citizens as to allow a man who is clearly a deluded fascist to cause this much harm to this country? You know, where are the elected men and women of the House and Senate who should be crying out against this fascist regime? Aren't our elected officials supposed to set an example for the people and stand up for what's right and wrong? Isn't their most important job to be part of the system of checks and balances, which is supposed to protect us from an administration so mad with power like this one? Where's the press in all of this? You know, we could always count on the press. The press, who over the years has been diligent and kept men like Bush and his minions from successfully forming a dictatorship. You know, there have been others. Nixon would gladly have accepted the role of emperor if allowed to, but the press kept him from it. But now, the press is no longer serving the best interests of America. They are profit-driven only and seem like they no longer care about the good investigative journalism of the past, which kept the political, you know, the politicians' feet to the fire. You know, if it's not a sex scandal, they don't want anything to do with it. There have been, when you think back about it, there have been half a dozen or so absolutely, positively impeachable offenses committed by this Emperor Bush, but the press has been mostly silent. Why? You know, I don't want you to think that I think these Bush people are inept. They are not. They're the most devious, cunning people ever to occupy power in Washington. They've successfully fooled the people. They've successfully put Congress on a short leash. And for all intents and purposes, they've totally throttled the free press. And they're absolutely resolute in their mission of you know, the PNAC group, world domination. And they're not letting anything stand in their way. They don't give a damn about the feelings of half of America. And they sure have proven they don't give a damn about the impression of America by the rest of the world. You know, that latest speech he gave, I was so ashamed of that inaugural speech. I was so ashamed of it. It was an our way or the highway speech, that's all it was. And you see how his daddy's coming out saying, oh, that's not what he meant. That's what he said. You know, when he talks like that, he proves he couldn't care one bit less about world opinion. He believes he's right, and nothing's going to sway him from the course of destruction that he's mapped out for America. You know, more wars are in the works. The body bags don't seem to sway him one bit. In fact, when you look at Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Rice and Wolfowitz and Feith and a couple of others, it's hard to see even a shred of decency and compassion for the families of the dead and maimed soldiers. It's hard to see that they care one bit for the people of America and the world, only their mission of grabbing power, eliminating all opposition to their totally misguided agenda, and further enriching their wealthy friends so as to make America the country it was back when there was no middle class. We're almost back there again. You know, it's obvious to me and to anyone who really studies this situation that it's all about the money. Follow the money, as always, and you'll be able to understand the motives of this horrible administration. It's that simple. It really is. The dollar is slipping. The debt is growing. The deficit's out of control. The Treasury's being looted by Bush and his wealthy friends. They've got enough riches that no matter what happens to this economy, they'll be just fine. But the world's getting wise to the U.S. economy, and they're getting wise concerning the motives of the Bush administration. And the question is, when will the rest of the world, Europe in particular, gang up on us economically? When will they stop buying our bonds and issuing us credit? China is already talking that way. When will they start buying oil with euros instead of greenbacks? You know, they could break us tomorrow if they choose to do so. And Americans don't even realize that. Many of you don't realize that. I think we're this all-powerful machine that, you know, could never break down, but we're oh so close. We're ever so close to an economic disaster of the magnitude of 1929, maybe even worse. There's far more debt today by average Joe American than there was in 1929. When those people were out in the soup lines in 1929, most of them at least had a place to live. Most of them owned their homes, their own thing. There wasn't the consumer debt that there is today. Imagine what would happen to this country if we had an economic downfall like we had in 1929 with the consumer debt there is out there right now. Can you imagine the catastrophic effects of a real depression in this country? You know, with these Bush policies, we're heading there ever so steadily. But millions of Americans are sleeping through this whole journey. It's going to be bad. It's going to be real bad. And America's doing a Rip Van Winkle impression right now. And I hope everybody wakes up pretty soon. We need to. Let's go to the phones. Let's see here. Let's go to Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hello?
Hi, Ben.
Hey, guy, this is Ben from White Rose Society.
So glad to have you with us. And by the way, thank you, Ben, for all that you do for liberal radio with your archives. But everybody go to www.whiterosesociety.org. Ben Birch, the incomparable Ben Birch, and probably the greatest service anybody does for liberal communications and radio with his site.
You're going to deny me my modesty now. The Republican fascist who called before trying to pawn off an 11-pound of marijuana arrest on Democratic leadership,
mm-hmm.
Of course, like most people on his side of the aisle, either he can't read or he chooses to misrepresent the facts. Here's what happened. In Punta Gorda, Vernon Elmo Peoples Jr., the son of former Democratic state legislator Vernon Elmo Peoples Sr.,
mm-hmm.
was indeed arrested with 11 pounds of marijuana.
In Punta Gorda, that's in Charlotte County, Florida. This gentleman said the leadership of the Democratic organization in Collier County.
Right. No, it was Punta Gorda. It was the son of a former legislator.
Okay.
And apparently the kid's been on a downhill slide for about 3 years. He's my age. He's 45. He's been on a downhill slide for a few years, and he hit bottom. And this is just the standard story that happens to lots of people in this country. You know, you get a little bit too involved in things you shouldn't be involved in, and next thing you know, you've got a felony rap.
Yeah.
And it's got nothing to do with the Democratic leadership. But, of course, you know, the person who called you was hoping no one would ever check up on his little story and that he could slander the Democratic leadership of Collier County with it when he's actually a dishonest fascist himself.
Now, wait till I tell some of the Democratic leadership of Collier County that they were accused of this evening. Oh.
Uh-huh.
I'll notify some of the Collier County Democratic leadership that they were accused of this evening.
I think that since it's actually on tape here, it does constitute actionable slander, and should they wish to proceed in the courts against this fellow, I will happily provide the tape.
Well, thank you. We do have his phone number, you know.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
You have a great day.
Hey, Ben, thanks. And, you know, everybody that's listening, please go to www.whiterosesociety.org and donate to that wonderful website. You're able to go there, download almost any liberal program there is, play it in your car, play it in your MP3, however you want to. You can have liberal programming 24 hours a day off of that site. Isn't that right, Ben?
Yes, and I have reached tens of thousands of people in over 133 countries with over 3 million hours of liberal democratic talk in the last 3 years.
Wonderful.
You take care, sir.
Thank you, Ben. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, let's see here. Where are we going to go? We're going to go to Michael over in Cape Coral. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Guy.
Good to hear from you, my friend.
Guy, hi. I can barely hear you.
Okay. Well, I'll speak up.
Okay. This is Michael Dean, Cape Coral.
What's on your mind this evening, Michael?
Well, I just want to say I'm a Paul Wellstone, Bill Clinton, Howard Dean Democrat. And I was listening to Dave earlier, and I wanted to direct him to a website that I sent to you today. I don't know if anybody's seen it or not, but it's...
I read it.
AlexJonesPrisonPlanet.com. A lot of information on that site.
Give it again, Michael.
PrisonPlanet.com.
PrisonPlanet.com.
Yes.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah,
very
Alex interesting. Jones.
I didn't have a chance to really sit down and digest it.
Well, there's
I
about
to.
5 hours worth of study on that website.
You would know.
Yes.
Well, Michael, what do you think of the election coming up tomorrow, today, actually, in Iraq? What do you think is going to happen?
I think it's going to be something like what we had here.
Ah, okay. Is there a Catherine Harris over there?
I wonder
if they have their version of Catherine Harris.
Well, George Bush is their version of...
Yeah.
So maybe they'll send Jeb down there to straighten it out for them.
that's usually what happens. They've usually got one of their cabal that does the dirty work. Maybe, what's his name, James Baker?
Yeah.
Michael, thanks so much for your call.
Well, Guy, it's a pleasure. I mean, it's late, I know, but...
Well, it's not that late.
I look forward to your program. I can't wait till it rolls around every week.
Well, thanks, Michael. Thank you very much.
Okay, you take care, buddy.
There's one very, very bright man right there. Very bright man. If you ever got a chance to sit down and talk to Michael, you'll find out you're talking to a guy probably with a few points higher IQ than most any of us, believe me. Hey, we're going to go talk to John in Naples. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to bring up a book I got out of the Collier County Library called Bush on the Couch.
Bush on the Couch.
Yeah, it was written by it's a fairly new book. It's, in the section of nonfiction new books is where I found it. And, it's written by a psychiatrist who practices in Washington, D.C., and... by going over all the things which have been written by Bush and about Bush, he kind of psychoanalyzes him. And,
that's got to be some interesting reading.
It is really a scary book to read. I mean, from his speech patterns and stuff, it points out the man is actually mentally ill.
Well, I don't doubt that.
Reading this book, it really is enough to really scare you.
I'm already scared of John. I don't know how much...
This was written, I believe it came out in August. It was before the election. It was before it was, he got reelected. But that's what really makes it scary.
Well, we've got four
his
years.
His reaction, yet. Just like his inaugural speech and everything, it goes to everything this guy had... come up with long before the speech was made, and it just points out we're dealing with a madman running this government.
We are, and we've got a man as we've got a man running this country who has not one positive accomplishment in his life.
Oh no, that's the whole problem. Plus, this book it points out where his. His relationship with his father and mother and, how he developed into this type of personality. And it is really scary.
Yeah, I understand one time he got drunk and threatened to beat up Daddy Bush. Now,
that's in the book. And, one time he got drunk and ran his car through his own garage.
Yeah.
He's not a balanced person. He's actually ill.
Well, he's a party boy. He always was a party boy.
Well, he was, and then he gave up the booze and took up religion, which, you know, is just another crutch. It's really a scary thing.
Never thought I'd see the day that an unstable human being would be president of the United States.
Well, I'll tell you, I think basically we ought to have some kind of, you know, physical plus a mental test for people before they're allowed to run for an high office.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
Well, I think it's we really need it.
Well, why don't we get a little group together and see if we can get Bush on the couch?
I wish we could.
I do, too.
It's really a scary situation.
I'm not sure I'd want to know everything that's in that brain of his.
Oh.
John, thanks so much for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye now.
Yeah, I know a lot of people don't hear like to hear me talk about the President of the United States that way, but, you know, we always promise one thing on this program, that we won't give you any BS. We won't mislead you. We'll let you know exactly what we're saying. We believe in Harry Truman-type politics on this show. If it's on your mind, go ahead and say it. You might as well. We believe in Paul Wellstone-style politics on this show. If it's on your mind, do it. Have the courage to say what's on your mind. Paul Wellstone had the courage to say what was on his mind. Men like Robert Kennedy had the courage to say what was on his mind. People like Martin Luther King had the courage to say what was on their minds. Always. So many people today don't. So many do not know. They just don't. They don't speak their minds. And I object to that. I really object to that. I don't like to... I don't have these... Well, Joe Lieberman. My God. Joe Lieberman this past week, I was so ashamed of Joe Lieberman. I don't know what Joe Lieberman is. I really don't. How long we got to go till break, Ron? 1 minute? Okay. I wasn't exactly sure here tonight. I shouldn't have to ask that question, but I did. I should know better. But anyway, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, 7504, 479-5540 here in Lee County, 263-6570 in Collier County. We welcome your call. We want to hear your comments. That's what makes a good radio program. We've had a lot of good ones coming up as so far. And hey, in the next segment, a few minutes of Republican love. Stay tuned. You're listening to Wink WNOG, 1240, 1270 AM, Fort Myers, Naples, Florida. We'll be back after the news.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.
CBS News, I'm Dave Barrett. Counting down the hours till Iraqis vote in their home country. It has not been a quiet countdown.
U.S. military officials in Baghdad say a rocket hit the U.S. embassy after dark, killing two Americans and wounding five more. It struck a building in the compound housed in Saddam's former Republican palace in the heart of the Green Zone. Mortars and rockets rain down on the Green Zone almost daily, but this is the first time one has hit the embassy.
That's CBS News correspondent Charlie Daggett in Baghdad. Reportedly, an unmanned surveillance aircraft tracked a car containing those who fired what turned out to be two rockets. And then, says Central Command, U.S. forces made seven arrests at a home. CBS's Dan Rather in Baghdad with more of what's going on in the pre-election process.
American forces were doing all they could. Here, detonating a roadside bomb. They're also overseeing the delivery of ballot boxes and generally trying to reassure jittery Iraqis that it would be safe to go to the polls. But bursts of automatic weapons fire was a common sound crackling across Baghdad during the day, as was the thud of mortars and other explosives. Most Iraqis just didn't go outside, preferring not to navigate endless checkpoints meant to restrict the movement of insurgents.
Also from Baghdad, CBS's Cammie McCormick.
There is concern that insurgents may try to pose as police officers during tomorrow's election. The U.S. military visited police stations today to hand out special stickers that officers will place in their windshields. The U.S. is also hoping to create a sense of national unity in the country just hours ahead of the vote. Iraqi flags have appeared throughout North Babel province, many hanging from bridge overpasses, although they're not likely to be seen because civilian traffic has been banned.
Back in the States, late word, there was a charter bus carrying a Canadian women's hockey team and it collided with a tractor trailer in Geneseo, New York. That's about 27 miles south of Rochester, New York. The driver of the truck was killed. About 19 injuries from that hockey team, and they're being taken to a local hospital in Rochester. Those injuries said to be minor to serious. Ice and snow in the Carolinas this weekend. Big storm, says CBS's Jim Crisula in Greensboro.
Mary Jo and Roy Germain are ready.
We went to the grocery store today. The pantry is full. We think we're well stocked.
It was pretty well full up. We've got eggs, plenty of drink, plenty of water, and plenty of frozen food, so we're well covered.
Some areas in the mountains could get more than a foot of snow.
Lynn Wallace with Georgia Power says 130,000 customers are without power in the Peach State. For those who get nothing when they flick the light switch.
Encouraging folks to bundle up, use lots of blankets, but mainly just if it looks like it's going to be extended, to just go seek shelter somewhere else where there is power.
This is CBS News.
Hi, this is Nick King with Marketing Your Business on Wink WNOG, Sunday mornings at 10:30. If you have questions on how to grow your business using sound marketing and advertising strategies, give me a call, and I'll give you the answers you need to make your business a success.
Nick is an international advertising expert and can explain the role marketing and advertising has in helping you grow sales and revenues. Sunday mornings, 10:30 to 11:30 on AM 1240 and 1270, Wake WNOG. Richard Brown, president of Brown and Hawk Financial Group, hosts a talk show all about money on Wink WNOG every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. There you can find out information about their free financial physicals. The free financial physical will review your goals, needs, and objectives. Call in each Saturday morning at 10 and have your investment questions answered. All about money and investing, hosted by Richard Brown, president of Brown and Hawk Financial Group. Saturdays at 10 a.m. on 1240 and 1270, Wink WNOG.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Oh, yeah, the Guy James Show here for the third hour. Up till we'll be with you right up till 10 p.m. this evening. And we got an episode of, segment, episode, whatever you want to call it, of Republican Love coming up in just a very few minutes. And I know you all want to call all your neighbors and friends and relatives and get them ready for that, because we got some good letters. We got some good letters this week. It's tough to edit a lot of letters well enough in order to be able to read them on the air. I don't want to get one of those big FCC fines. I really don't. So, hey, you can give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. That's a toll-free number. You're welcome to call. And 479-5540 in Lee County and 263-6570 in Collier County. So give us a call. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, like many of you, like most of my listeners, I suspect all of you do a tremendous amount of reading like I do every week. Want to keep up on things so we know the truth about what goes on. I don't read just one side of issues. I read all sides of the issues and try and have an objective opinion about everything. But I was thinking this week, if you really think about it, and try and go through this with me. If you traveled to other countries, so let's say you went to other countries and you asked this question, you made this statement. I'm an anti-gay, anti-abortion, anti-tax, and anti-national health care, anti-Kyoto Treaty, pro-privatizing Social Security, anti-women's right. What else? Pro-Iraq War guy. Which party would I join? What if you asked that question? You know, people in other countries look at you and say, no such party exists, of course. even the most conservative Tory in Great Britain looks on the U.S. Republican Party as some sort of a freak show of the Dark Ages nowadays, the way it is. You know, this isn't the party of Nelson Rockefeller anymore. This isn't the party of Barry Goldwater. And what I'm saying, this is not your father's Oldsmobile Republican Party anymore. This is a freak show. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, ask yourself this question. What do Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia, Tennessee, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, Arkansas, Missouri, Texas, Kansas, Oklahoma, North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Colorado, Nebraska, Utah, Wyoming, Idaho, Arizona, Nevada, Iran, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia and Afghanistan, and some other Middle East countries all have in common? Hmm? They're all red states. Anti-this, anti-that, the mullahs are running all those places I just mentioned. Yes, the mullahs are running all of those places I just mentioned. Oh, you say we have no mullahs here? Did you forget about James Dobson? The anti-tinky-winky, anti-SpongeBob SquarePants guy? Oh, my. Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, and their friends? You know, they might not have the official title of mullah, but believe me, they are mullahs nonetheless. Wacko religious nuts who get up in the pulpit and give the masses their marching orders about sin and politics. And, you know, it's a good thing for all of us that they do that. Why, who knows what would happen if the likes of Tinky Winky and SpongeBob were allowed to run loose in this country? What would happen to our youth if they saw a gay person on TV, or, God forbid, a bare-breast at the Super Bowl? What would happen if God had not spoken personally to each of those gentlemen, told them that he, God, had personally anointed G.W. Bush to be leader of the free world? What would happen if, like the Republicans say, a godless heathen like John Kerry had won the election? What if the political saints like Bush 41 and Ronald Reagan, Richard Nixon, who, well, maybe not old Tricky Dick, but he slipped through the religious cracks somehow, even if he was tight with Billy Graham. But what would have happened to this country if those anointed souls had not been made president? Why, we might be in big trouble. We might be headed for financial ruin. We might have a runaway budget deficits. We might have massive trade deficits. We might have huge military expenses and so forth. You know, if those Democrats had gotten into office, they might lie to us about reasons for going to war. They might have tricked the American public into being gung-ho for an endless war. They might even have sent our kids to war without the proper armor and protective equipment. See, that's what I mean, because the Democrats might have done all that, being the scoundrels that they are. They might have tried to scuttle the Social Security system, the public schools, the lunch programs for poor kids. They might have cut military benefits. And I'll bet that John Kerry would have... Well, he wouldn't have gone to any fallen soldiers' funerals either. Because that's how those Democrats are. Yeah, that's how they are, those Democrats. Still waiting for a Republican to call me and tell me about some legislation. So someone challenged us about a few weeks ago. Some legislation that the Republicans have done for average Joe American. Still waiting to hear about that. But in the meantime, are we ready out there with our orchestra for a few minutes of Republican love? Are we? I don't know if anybody's listening to me in the control room. Anybody listening to me? We got the orchestra ready? Let's have the orchestra ready for a few minutes of Republican love. Do you feel it? Ah, yes. There they are. They sound good tonight. Let's just get them at the right level here so that we're just... We want it softly in the background. Let's have them down just a little bit, okay? First letter in Republican love tonight. Dear Mr. Raghead Lover, yes, after hearing most of your show this past week, it is easy to tell that you love the ragheads more than you love your fellow Americans. It's easy to tell that you are rooting for the terrorist. Ooh. The rest of us, who are the real patriots, are hoping that the entire raghead population of Iraq will be disposed of in short order by our brave Marines. I was a Marine in the first Gulf War, and the most troubling part of the whole thing was the fact that they didn't turn us loose in Iraq to hunt them down like the animals they are. They have proved to the entire world that they're no better and no smarter than your average rat. Even their women and kids deserve to die because their men kill our troops. It would be a good thing to go into those villages where our Marines have been killed and make the entire population watch while we publicly slaughter a few of them and then burn them up. That might make those raghead bastards stop killing our troops. Maybe they would stop it if they knew a few of their women and kids would die because of their treachery. Wake up, you raghead-loving scum, Evan. Well, thank you, Evan, for that very, well, touching letter. It certainly touched my heart. Jesus, I hope I don't live within 1,000 miles of you. I really do. All right, in the next letter, Mr. James, I have to wonder what the hell is wrong with Wink and WNOG for allowing you to spread your leftist filth on their airwaves. On their airwaves, you know, it's odd. I could swear the airwaves belonged to the Republic, to the public last time I looked. But anyway, I digress. He goes on to say, I called and complained, but all I got was a recording from your program director. So I decided to find out if you're a real man and see if you have the cojones to read this on the air. I'm looking ahead there. This is from Sandra. Is this good enough for you, Sandra? Either way, either they stop your program, or there's going to be a hell of a lot of us start to listen to other stations. You suck, Sandra. Well, thank you, Sandra. That's a very sweet sentiment. Next letter. There's no salutation. You know, Ron, I hate it when they start out the letters. You no salutations on it. It's so rude. It is. It's rude. No social graces at all. Those Republicans are just oafs. Anyway. It starts out, I was clicking through the stations last Saturday when I ran across your program. For a moment, I thought I was in the Twilight Zone and Rod Serling was going to come in any minute. I understand it was your third show on Wink. Well, I don't know what your deal is, but I'll bet a week's pay you won't last more than 60 days. No one would ever listen to a show like yours. I heard you cut down the president. I should mention at this point that the show's been on the air a little over 2 years rather than 60 days. I should mention that. Okay? Not bragging, but just want you to know the truth. I heard you cut down the president, Ms. Condoleezza Rice, Vice President Cheney, and just about all Republicans. You'll never survive on the radio with an attitude like that. Damon. Well, Damon, you know, I hate to burst your bubble, but we've been on the air, like I said, for over 2 years and going strong and in at the pits. I know a lot of Republicans don't like that, but, you know, just... But keep listening. And with your open mind, you'll hear some truth for a change. I know what you're used to hearing coming from, you know, the drug-crazed Limbaugh and the Hannitys and those people. The next one here, now, I take exception to this. I didn't like this one very much. Dear Monkey Boy. Monkey Boy, I don't know. Where did that come from? This guy's been watching Bush too much. Everybody says he looks like a monkey on that. You ever been to that smirkingchimp.com? God. You ever seen that, Ron, at smirkingchimp.com website? They got a picture of Bush with a chimp on one side and Bush on the other side, and it really looks like it's a good fit. Ron's out there trying to get his microphone going. You should all go to that www.smirkingchimp.com. Yes, yes. You ever see that?
I've seen that.
Yeah, have you? Don't you think that just kind of melts together real well? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ron, by the way. He's the guy who's going to be running the board from now on and taking all this abuse. Welcome, Ron.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you. And boy, it's comforting to know that you know about smirkingchimp.com. There's just not that many of us out there.
Yeah.
Well, Ron, thanks, and welcome to the Guy James Show.
Yeah, hey, I appreciate that, Guy.
Yeah. Anyway, that letter was signed by Damon, and, you know. Well, I digress. Dear Monkey Boy, your show is crap. I hate it, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to boycott it and all your sponsors and their people. We don't like your kind around here, and we won't stand for you being on the air and poisoning the mind of our kids with your stinking brand of politics. I think if you had your way, we'd leave Iraq and have all of our brave soldiers die for nothing. Well, I hated to put it to you this way, Bunky, but any American who died in Iraq was, in fact, sent to his or her death for absolutely nothing. The Iraqis are going to vote Sunday, and the number one reason they're going to vote and go to the polls is so they can kick the Americans out of their country. That's the number one reason they say they're going. Nobody signed that letter. I don't know. Next letter. I think it's the last one. No, it's not the last one. There's two more. You think you're so smart? I'll be glad to debate you any time you want to take me on. I'll show you just how stupid you really are. Now, he spelled stupid, S-T-U-P-E-D. I'll embarrass the hell out of you in front of your audience. Now, I might add here that embarrass, I was lucky I could make out what that word was, because it, too, was chopped up real bad. And audience is not spelled A-U-D-E-E-N-C-E. Okay. You love to whine about how bad everything is in this country, so I'll make you eat your words. When I get through with you, you won't act so smart anymore, because you may think you're fooling your listeners, but you're not. And I'll show them, oh, here we go, just how utterly stupid you really are. Utterly. U-D-D-E-R-L-Y. Stupid, S-T-U-P-E-D. Okay. Are you man enough to take my challenge? C-H-A-L-E-N-G-E. Are you man enough to read this on the air? I doubt it, funny boy, but you won't be laughing when I get through with you. Well, thanks for the good one there. We got one last letter. I think that was pretty typical. I really do. Heard your show. You have no guts. You got to know that people here don't like it when you talk about our president the way you do. We are all patriots here. Boy, now that's we're all patriots here. And there's no place for a communist Nazi liar like you to live here. They left a word out. You might as well go live with your commie buddies over in Iran, a soon-to-be former listener. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I didn't think Iran was exactly a bastion of communism. I could be wrong, and I might want to let this guy know, you know, for a communist Nazi liar, the commies and the Nazis never got along all that well. In fact, I just was boning up on my history the other day, and it seems to me the Nazis killed 20 million of those commies that they loved so much during a Second World War. So that's the end of Republican Love this week. We'll have another segment come up soon, perhaps next week. I hope you enjoyed it, and I thank the orchestra for coming in. You know, we pay that orchestra, and they're on union scale. And, you know, there's 68 of them, and they're in the next. It's crowded over there. But I tell you, that one there with the spelling, I love that. I mean, everybody misspells a word right now, but when you're calling somebody stupid and you call them S-T-U-P-E-D, that's a classic. I may have to frame that. I really might have to. I don't know. Ron, is it time for a break? I think we'll cause for a break right now. You listen to the Guy James Show, and don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We're going to gather our thoughts and after those Republican Love and come back to you in just a couple minutes.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.
You want more. You deserve more. You crave more. At Collier County's number one volume used car retailer, Germain Toyota's Big Lot, Naples, you'll get more. More for less. More selection. Over 300 cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs in stock. More for your trade. 5,000 minimum. Guaranteed. More warranty. Germain's Big Warranty. Up to 100,000 miles and get it all for less. 2004 Toyota Camrys, not 22,000, not 18,000. Sale price $15,990. 2004 Lincoln Town Cars, not 40,000, not 30,000. $26,990. Camrys $15,990. Town Cars $26,990. That's a lot more car for a lot less money. Destination Germain Toyota's Big Lot, Naples on US 41. Just south of Bonita Beach Road, I-75, exit 116, Naples.
Okay, everybody, let's play Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community? We'll start with Sam from Mobile, Alabama.
Wait, hold on. I don't want to volunteer.
Why not, Sam? We know you have the free time because you do absolutely nothing after school but sit in front of your computer.
Wait, you've been following me?
Yes, we have, Sam.
Yeah, that's weird.
So, let's have beautiful Cynthia here tell you what you could be doing.
Thanks, Bob. Hi, Samuel.
Hello?
Sam, you could take your computer knowledge and volunteer to teach people after school.
But
I don't know a thing about computers, but I'd love for you to teach me, Sammy.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. Looks like we have another happy volunteer. To find out ways you can volunteer in your community, log on to teensvolunteer.org and join us next time for another episode of Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community?
Okay.
Do what you like to do. Volunteer. A public service message brought to you by the USA Freedom Corps, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of a washing machine. A very common sound in 5 to 7 million U.S. homes where children still wet the bed over age 6. I'm Dr. Mark Sandron, urologist from the Children's Hospital of Boston. Bedwetting is a medical condition that is much more common than people may think. And while the bed sheets can be washed, the bad feelings that result don't disappear as easily. My brother wet the bed until he was 12. Of course, my little sister and I teased him a lot. But when the accidents continued, no one in the family was having an easy time, and in fact, it was clear that everyone was stressed out. At that time, nobody realized that wetting the bed is not a behavioral or a psychological problem. We now realize it's a medical condition that can be safely and effectively treated, as I do daily. If your child wets the bed past age 6, please know it's no one's fault. Talk to your healthcare provider about available treatment options. For information, visit www.afud.org. A message from the American Foundation for Urologic Disease and this station.
In Lancaster, a little league coach gets his team to the big game.
In Ventura, a volunteer firefighter orders herself out of bed at 4 a.m.
In Peoria, a CPA joins the PTA.
In Nashville, an aspiring songwriter joins the Naval Reserve.
People across America are giving back to their community and their country. The Naval Reserve is proud to include these individuals among our ranks. Together, we will build a better world. Call 1-800-USA-USNR or go to NavalReserve.com. Naval Reserve, stay strong.
I'm Calvin Hill. As an all-pro running back for the Dallas Cowboys, my focus was football. But as a husband, father, and now a grandfather, today I'm focused on my family and my heart. Because of my high cholesterol, I'm at risk for heart failure. It's a deadly condition that killed my father and robbed our family of many special moments together. But new medications and devices can help you be there for the ones that you love. Ask your doctor.
Call 1-800-AHA-USA1 or click on the Heart Profiler link at AmericanHeart.org.
You've heard the right. Now, all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Back with you with the Guy James Show. So glad. I want you to know how much I appreciate you listening to the program. It takes a long time to get ready for a program each week, and it's good to know all the wonderful emails I get from people and your support of the program. It's a wonderful feeling to know that so many of you do appreciate this program and like to hear it each and every week. And I do endeavor each and every week to make it as interesting and factual, and we pride ourselves on being factual on this show. We do. And you know that. Somebody called and wanted us to give the address. You got your pencil and paper out? Do you? I'm going to give you three, two, one. You got your pencil and paper. Here's the address if you want to support the program. 12870 Trade Way 4. Three words. Trade Way 4. Unless you want to spell it like that last guy was spelling things. Anyway, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. Again, that's 12870 Trade Way 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. For all of you people listening around the country, you can send your donations there, or you can go to PayPal, you know. And you can go to our website, www.theguyjamesshow.com. And, okay, we got that out of the way. I heard Rush Limbaugh the other day talking about, yes, I do tune into that program now once in a while because, you know the old saying, keep your enemies close, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. Yeah, that's how it goes. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 in Lee County and 263-6570. I don't give those enough. I should get one of those. I should get that recorded and play it like some other folks do. Remind me to do that, Ron. I heard Rush Limbaugh the other day, and I check him out once in a while. He was talking about what a terrible injustice it was for the Democrats to question Condoleezza Rice the way they did. You know, he absolutely savaged Barbara Boxer and Ted Kennedy and the others who questioned. They questioned her tough. I admit they did. Shouldn't you? If a person's going to be the number one diplomat in the United States, shouldn't you get some hard questions? Shouldn't we have someone extremely competent to be in that job? Other than someone that's either a liar or incompetent, one or the other? You know, and then old Limbaugh, he starts one of his patented rants about how the Democrats were going to do this and that to make her look bad. You know, this is how he does things. He said there'd be leaks in the State Department about her being incompetent. He said the Democrats would accuse her of being unprepared and ineffective, and that they would accuse her of lying. He said the Democrats would look for any reason whatsoever to disparage her good name. Now, let me be the first to say that I think Rush is absolutely correct on all counts. Absolutely correct with every one of his predictions concerning Condoleezza Rice. Why did I know that he'll be 100% correct? Because any fool could predict what he did, because all of the things he said the Democrats would bring up are already true. It doesn't take a mind reader to see that. Of course, they'll accuse her of lying because she's already proficient at it. Of course, there are going to be leaks out of the State Department because career State Department people will see the depth of her incompetence and they'll want to let others know just how unprepared and unqualified she is for the job. And of course, they'll accuse her of being totally ineffective because that is exactly what she will be. She has no business whatsoever being in that position given her record in this Bush administration. So Rush, I hate to say it, but I do agree with you on all of your predictions concerning Condoleezza Rice. They will all come true because we already know she is absolutely guilty of everything Rush says the Dems will accuse her of. You know, Rush, you can fool your right-wing listeners into believing you're some sort of a crystal ball reader, but some of us are just a little smarter than that. You know, the people whose letters I just read would lap up everything you said. That's right, Rush. You tell them. You tell them, Rush. Hey, woman, get me another beer. That's exactly a lot of the kind of people listen to that and believe every word the man says. But he's right on that one. He really is. What do you think? Give us a call. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. How do you think those elections are going to go today or tomorrow or, I guess, starting any minute now over in Iraq? Do you think there'll be an overwhelming turnout? What kind of a democracy is it, do you think? What will it be? We've got a bunch of people voting for... I found some quotes here. Let me give you some quotes. Let me see if I can find them here. Here's some folks from Iraq, and I quote, "I will not be voting because it is a useless charade. Any clever person can see that this war and its expenditures would lead to a government that opposes the Americans." Salah Abraham, who lives in the district of Baghdad, populated primarily by Shia Muslims. Another quote from an Iraqi. "Who are these people? Where do they come from? Put yourself in my place. Who would you vote for?" Yusra Naif, a 52-year-old Shiite in Baghdad. And another one. "I have no idea who these people are. We are all religious in Iraq, but we want an honest, educated leader, not someone crying about what happened 2,000 years ago. Adil Guzaz, 47, a Shiite who doesn't know any of the Iraqi candidates. And the thing is, like we mentioned earlier, nobody knows any of the Iraqi candidates. So think about that for a minute. We just went through an election. Imagine, you went to the polls. Someone says, who are you going to vote for? Well, I don't know. Well, you got to vote for somebody. Yeah, I'm going to pull the lever, but I don't know who it's for. It's for somebody, and I'll vote. I'm going to vote for somebody. And I don't know who, and I don't know what he looks like, and I don't know what he's going to do, and I don't know what he stands for, but I'm going to vote for him. Man, that's real democracy. We got a caller. We got Connie in Cape Coral. Hi, Connie.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's another week of wonderful Rush news, and,
Rush news? Well, I guess Connie didn't want to talk. Another week of Rush news. Wonder what that means. Is that some kind of code or something? Did I miss out on something? All right. I'm having a little phone trouble here right now. But, you can talk about, you can call in and talk about Rush all you want to. I'll be happy to. Mr. Limbaugh, of course, the OxyContin kid, loves his drugs and been through rehab a couple of times. And from what I hear, maybe the rehab hadn't been totally successful. But he makes a lot of money, and I do envy that. Anybody, you have to envy anybody that makes $35 million a year. Imagine that. $35 million a year, and you're still a drug... Wow. I don't get that. I really don't. I just have to think if I made $35 million a year, I wouldn't be interested in the drugs, but maybe that's what happens to you if you tell lies every day and every day and every day. Maybe you got to get in some sort of a drug-induced stupor to do that. Well, let's go to Arnold in Cape Coral. Hi, Arnold.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, you know, why do you think that President Bush's daughters, you know, the two young daughters, you guys, I think they're in their 20s, why aren't they serving in the military?
Well, I've wondered that myself. It's according to the Bushes, a very worthy endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think he'd want to set a good example, and that they would want to send a good example and sacrifice their daughters.
I know. I mean, I see them at the convention back in, the Republican convention.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fooling around on stage like a bunch of 12-year-olds.
Yeah. But, put them in some fatigues, get them over there in Iraq, and let Mom and Daddy Bush worry about them like 150,000 other American families worry about. See how righteous they think this war is then.
I know, because when you think about it, you got guys over there every day that, you know, war is real. I mean, unless you experience it, you don't.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing really, you know, to laugh about.
It certainly is not, and none of these people who started this war will ever suffer the agony of having a Marine sergeant come to their front door and say your son or daughter is dead, or your son or daughter has lost their arms and legs or eyes. None of them will ever suffer that agony.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a hard, very hard thing to go through in the reality of it.
That's for someone else's kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another thing I was saying, it's amazing that I heard the letters that were written to you. I mean, this, we have ability in this country to talk, you know, we have, we can get on the airwaves and talk about the country in our own opinion, you know, what we want to say. And I don't understand the people who write to you. I mean, don't they even understand what the Constitution is?
Well, I have to tell you, I don't know how many times you've heard the program, but early on, when we started this program in a station down in Naples, and I think it was maybe the fourth or fifth show, I got a barrage of email, and it was a concentrated effort by a group of people, and I know who they are, that promised me in no uncertain terms that they would get this show off the air, and I'll quote them, by any means necessary. So that's what we've been facing for years. Any means necessary. You know that word, that any word is a big word.
Yeah, but you're not in America, you can't do that.
No.
Because you're not doing nothing wrong except putting out your own opinion.
That's right. Hey, Arnold, thanks for your call.
All right.
Great to hear from you.
Yeah.
You know, he's absolutely right. The Bush daughters, why not get those fatigues on, get over there, get a rifle, get in one of those Humvees and drive around and do the right thing. don't see it happening, though. Hey, let's go back. We got Connie. Hey, Connie, are you with us?
Yes, I'm sorry. My cell phone died just as I was ready to start speaking.
Sorry we lost you.
Oh, me too. I apologize for that. I just wanted to mention some things I've heard most recently on Rush. I like to listen to him because I love to hear the propaganda he puts out to the weak-minded. I just can't believe how many people listen to him and love him. But he does not allow any lefties on any longer. Have you noticed in the last 8 months or so, he's cut them off the air. He used to take those calls. He's taking down universities. He doesn't like the fact that supposedly, there's a lot of free thinkers in universities. And so they've got a whole ploy to, number one, take over universities, try to get right-wing thinkers in there. They're starting clubs. It's a concerted effort, to make a movement. And, this week, when he was so upset about Ted Kennedy and his speech that he had at some university. I was looking on the web. I could only find something about the Brookings Institute, but I thought Rush Limbaugh mentioned he was speaking at a university. He was suggesting to his listeners that everyone write to the university president and complaining letters about the university president for having Ted Kennedy speak at the university.
Oh, my.
Yep. but I'm listening to them. I'm hearing this. It's not Ann Coulter. Who's that other lady that's got that whiny voice that has that other radio show?
Oh,
what's your face?
Laura Ingraham.
Laura Ingraham. She's also talking about the other thing that they're doing is the concerted effort to take down their own, the Republicans that don't agree with them. Mm-hmm. And Christy Todd Whitman is I'm very proud of the fact that she put this book out. And I think that that's going to be the undoing of this very far right wing, is the fact that their own party is going to turn against them. And I could almost see where the, Democrats and certain, moderate Republicans join hands and try to overturn this, fascism that we've got going here.
You know, Connie, I think you're exactly right. I think sooner or later, the middle of the road Republicans are going to say enough. You've shamed our party enough. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty for me to talk about Democrats too. But
right.
I see this movement that's going on right now. It's out of control, and frankly, for the first time in my life, I worry about the direction of this country.
I do too, sincerely. And it's a very concerted effort, a very organized effort, and I don't see that we have anything that comes close. And we do need to take some stands, some steps, but this organization that they have in place has been in place for years now. And it's only, just coming to the awareness of a lot of people that this has been going on, what with, the fraudulent elections in the last two presidential runs. So I just don't know what the next steps are that people can take.
Well, I hope the Democrats are waking up finally, coming out of the slumber after being beaten to death in the airwaves for the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. I think they finally are getting wise, though.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, Connie, for your show. Good to hear from you. Have you noticed how Limbaugh and Neil Bortz and these people are no longer saying public schools? I want to... You know how they frame things. They frame things. They make the nomenclature what they want it to be. They don't call public schools anymore. They say it with that sneer, government schools. If your kid going to a government school, they mean your local public school. Public schools built this country. I got a good education at a public school. I heard Neil Bortz say the other day, and I know, don't write me letters and say, are you crazy for listening to Neil Bortz? I know he's crazy. But he started out the other day, he said, I saw a bumper sticker on a car that said, my kid's an honor student at such and such a school. He said, let me tell you something, there's no such thing as an honor student at a government school. Let me tell you something, Mr. Bortz. I got a kid that was an honor student at a government school, and he graduated magna cum laude from a university. Is that good enough for you? He wasn't homeschooled. He wasn't church schooled. He went to a public high school, and he graduated at the top of his class, and he was an honor student, and he goes to the university and graduates magna cum laude, and I can tell you several other kids did the same thing out of public schools. Don't give me that. Don't disparage the public schools in this country. Don't do it. They've got warts like everybody else does, but a lot of great people in this country have gone to public schools, and are a lot more great people will go to public schools. Let's go to Dan in Fort Myers. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going, sir?
Good.
Hey, I'm on the other side from you, but you seem like a decent guy and stuff. I just hate to see the attacks when you guys attack each other for your personal, you know, the views are one thing, but I hate to see us attacking the messengers and getting personal like that.
Who's the messenger?
You know, well, just like you guys, I mean, because somebody called and said something about somebody got arrested for this or marijuana, some kind of stuff.
Yeah, I didn't bring that up. One of the callers brought that up.
Yeah, I heard that guy. I mean, I hate to say it's attacking each other like that, you know, for a little criminal. I mean, we're not, either side is perfect. Now, I think, as personal people, we're not perfect.
That's right.
As people. I mean, we all have our faults on both sides of the aisle, as they say, but I just hate to say it getting, you know, if you want to attack my message, that's fine. But, you know, as me, I might not be perfect, and to be able, you know, to attack the person, I don't know. I got a little concerned when you started, we had to call, you used the F word with Bush, you know, you used the F word, which is kind of too strong, I think.
I didn't use the F word.
No, fascist.
Oh yeah. Well.
Yeah, I didn't want to. No, not that F word, but the fascism.
You know what a fascist is? You know what a fascist government is?
I know what they've been in the past.
Yeah.
And they haven't been too pretty, you know. And
it's what Benito Mussolini said would rather be called corporatism. Do you deny that the corporations are running this country right now?
Well, I don't know if I can go that far. I mean, this is. When you talk about the Middle East, too, I know you know our dependence on foreign oil is incredible.
Yeah.
So we have to make sure we're secure with that situation, because that could cripple us in a heartbeat, just the oil supply.
But do you think, let me ask you a question, since you're on the other side. I like to pick your brain. Seem like a reasonable guy.
Well,
19 of those hijackers were from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And Saudi Arabia has one of the worst human rights records of any country in the world. And we're over fighting a war in Iraq when right next door is the country that is using extortion with their oil in this country, and it funded some of the hijackers and has a terrible human rights record. Do you think we might be in the wrong place?
Well, I know it's not, Saudi Arabia is not heaven in any, but I think because we are friends with them, we need the oil. I mean, we are somewhat trapped to that region because of our dependence on it.
Well, but we went to war in Iraq, and we know that's a drastic step. We went to war there. So why didn't we, knowing the background of the Saudis, they're no friends of ours. They're holding us hostage with their oil. Why didn't we go to war against Saudi Arabia?
Well, true. I mean, you know, it's a little different in terms of the possible weapons, and then, you know, the UN resolutions were ignored. You know, it's a little bit different where Saudi Arabia now is cooperating with us more. I think you wouldn't have saw shootouts with terrorists in Saudi Arabia 4 or 5 years ago. Now it's happening in their own country.
Well, how much do you think they're cooperating when you pump gas into your car and it's $2 a gallon?
Oh, I know. I don't like that either.
Yeah, but, they're not old Prince Bandar, and the boys aren't doing a very good job for us right now.
I know, but I get concerned, though, because they could really shut us down. If they ever got together and said, listen, America's done, we would have a real problem with the oil situation. And I think we have plans where we would actually take it over.
Yeah.
I've read stories where we had contingency plans, like Saudi Arabia, we actually invade it and take it and say, we need it, we're taking it.
I know. I just hate to see that, you know, Colin Powell and Bushy Boy going hunting with Prince Bandar and those people, and like everything's just hunky-dory and okay. And I think we got the wrong guys on the hook right now. But,
because you guys, I mean... you just get the feeling that you guys are just almost, I hate to say the word, but just like you're down on everything. You know, I'm just kind of curious what you feel. I mean, hopefully you want to say that we're in Iraq, so I think that you want it to go good.
Well,
you kind of sound like you're open for trouble tomorrow.
No, as long as we're there, I hope everything works out for the best. I would love a month from now to say we'd never lost another soldier over there. I'd like to say we brought them home safe and sound, the ones that were left. Of course, I wish for the best for our soldiers. But
yeah, that's good. I mean, because we're there, you know, you guys aren't happy about it, but I mean, I think we should hope that it's going to go good and it's going to spread some freedom over there. But sometimes it sounds like you guys are hoping for the worst.
No, you know, we're not hoping for the worst. We're hoping for the best to bring them home. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for. I think that's the real way to support our troops is to hope and pray they come home as soon as absolutely possible. Hey, Dan, thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks, sir.
Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
It's a quarter till the hour, just about. I think we're going to pause for a break right now, aren't we, Ron? Yeah, we are. And just hang on. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, and we've got a few thoughts that we want to pass on to you yet.
A Guy James Show. Restoring the liberal media. The Guy James Show.
Because Mother Nature wanted to match your pretty little eyes.
Nope, not even close. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more. So the human eye sees more of it than any other color. That's why the sky looks blue, Daddy.
Who in the world taught you that?
Mommy.
By sixth grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science. And in just a few short years, almost all of the jobs they'll want will depend on having these skills. So keep her interest alive any way you can.
Daddy, do you know why the concept of odd and even is a philosophical illusion?
Why don't you tell me?
For more information and ideas, visit www.girlsgotech.org. Remember, it's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
Living expenses take a big bite out of every dollar. But if you think about it, food, the most important of all, really doesn't. In fact, in this country, only 11 cents of every dollar goes to buy food. 11 cents. Now that's affordable. Florida's farmers know that keeping food prices low is important for everyone. Because Florida farmers don't just grow the food, they buy it for their families too. Safe, affordable, and abundant. Food for thought from Florida's farmers. A message from the Florida Farm Bureau Federation.
Savage.
I had an epiphany in the toilet this morning, and it occurred to me that step by step, the deviant scum have made everything legal and sane, illegal and insane, and they're working on making everything that's been illegal and immoral, legal and moral. It's amazing to me how the Boy Scouts have become the deviants. The perverts are now elevated to the height of cleanliness. It's amazing to me. Everything's upside down. The Savage Nation is now heard on WINKWNOG weeknights starting at 6. Join me if you're brave enough to face the truth.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Wow, was I dreaming or did I just hear a Mike Savage ad? Mike Savage talking about deviance and so forth. Boy, that's a... Wow. You want to talk about weirdo Republicans just for a second? We talked about several of them tonight. I mentioned Limbaugh, and I mentioned the sexual deviant Bill O'Reilly, and of course the gambling addict Mr. Bennett, and a few others. One I forgot, and I'm really sorry that I did forget about this. Let me introduce you to another one.
It's worth studying.
Let's get another call. Peter's calling from Wayland, Massachusetts. Hello, Peter. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Gingrich.
How are you?
Hello, Tom. I'm all right. I'm wondering if America is ready for a leader with the kind of character that would enable him to divorce his wife on her deathbed.
Well, that's a lie. I'm not going to comment much on these things. That is a lie. So as long as we understand that's a lie, I'm actually pretty comfortable having the rest of this conversation. But if you want to just get on the air to repeat a series of lies that have been said over the years by people who don't like what I'm doing, that's your prerogative. It's a free country, but I don't have to put up with it, and I don't have to try to answer them. That was a lie.
Newt Gingrich, that chapter in your personal life must have been a burden for you.
A burden indeed. You know, it's really... That's the first time I've ever heard somebody have the courage to let a caller get through and ask Newt Gingrich that question. Now, Mr. Gingrich was there, and of course, he's a fine, upstanding Republican that upholds the moral values of the Republican Party in the finest of ways. I've heard Mr. Gingrich's wife that was mentioned right there, former wife. I've heard Mr. Gingrich's wife say exactly what the caller said, that he did come into her while she was sick with, I think, cancer in the hospital, and told her that he was going to leave her right then and there. Of course, he was leaving her for another woman. That happens. But I thought his timing was a little bit crude. And so Mr. Gingrich leaves this woman and didn't pay any alimony. He didn't pay his child support. And the ex-wife had to turn to her church for support because this man, who made buckets full of money, wouldn't give her a dime. I think he's a man of very high character. And you think, well, maybe he's rehabilitated his character. Maybe he's seen the light and he's gotten better. Well, do you know that he married this woman that he left his first wife for? And during the unfortunate Bill Clinton saga and Monica Lewinsky, there wasn't anybody a whole lot more vocal about it than Mr. Newt Gingrich. Well, it turns out, don't you know that Mr. Newt Gingrich's second wife was ill, and he went to her and told her that he was leaving her, and he left her for his secretary while he was berating Bill Clinton for the Monica Lewinsky affair. Now, I don't know. I could be wrong, but that's not the kind of character that I think you find upstanding Republicans that want to brag too much about. And here this lout is on the air telling this guy, well, that's a lie. That's a lie. Well, it's funny. Everybody else involved in the situation says it's not. Even the minister from the church who gave the support to his ex-wife will gladly tell you the truth of the situation. So, and you people in Georgia voted for this bum? Oh, please. And speaking of the church, as you know, I'm a Christian guy. I talk about that. The White House is having trouble right now, and I knew this would happen. I predicted to you that this would happen. The White House is having trouble with its traditional base of social conservative. The New York Times reports that various conservative Christian groups wrote a letter. Here we go. Wrote a letter to the White House indicated that they lack enthusiasm for changing the retirement system or other tax issues. The groups are, quote, threatening to withhold support for the privatization scheme unless Mr. Bush vigorously champion. Now listen to what I'm saying here. The churches are wanting to do a trade-off here. The right-wing fundies that backed him, they're threatening to withhold support for his Social Security privatization schemes unless Mr. Bush vigorously champions a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage. Now, think about that for a moment. These are the people that the moral values people that championed Mr. Bush and got in the pulpit every Sunday and said, you got to vote for this guy. They're blackmailing him. They're not going to go along with his Social Security deal unless he gives them a ban on the same-sex marriage. They're wanting to do a trade. I could be wrong, but I don't know. Somehow that just seems a little odd to me. It really does. And of course, I was reading a story earlier this week about, you all remember Mitch Daniels. They brag about this economic stability of this administration. Former Bush budget chief. Mitch Daniels fought so hard for the tax cut. You know, you remember back when Bush was trying to get the tax cut for all his rich friends? Mitch Daniels, the former White House budget director, who is now the governor of Indiana, he unveiled a plan last week to raise taxes on the wealthy in Indiana. This is the guy that fought for the federal tax cut on the wealthy. So he gets elected governor of Indiana, and now he wants to raise state taxes on the wealthy people in Indiana. Why? The move is noteworthy because it was Daniels who, as budget director, helped pass massive federal tax cuts for the wealthy that absolutely fueled, and you can ask any governor this, fueled huge state budget deficits in almost every state like the one that now faces Indiana. It was Daniels who railed against those who said the federal tax cuts would create deficits. You know, he brushed aside all the statistical data, and he told one reporter back in 2001, there's every reason to believe there will be more, not less, surplus available over these 10 years. And so now, naturally, on account of these tax cuts, The federal deficit is skyrocketing, and Indiana this year faces a $600 million deficit. My, the chickens come home to roost. Mr. Governor Daniels now is having to raise taxes on the wealthy. He done seen the light, huh? Ah, yeah. I wonder about these people. I really do. And, of course, the next week we want to talk a lot about the Social Security speculation program. A lot of them are calling it privatization. Now, they've changed it now. They've done a lot of polling. They were calling it private accounts. They have the Republicans have done their work. They've done the polling, and they found that most people don't like the term private accounts. That sounds like privatization, and they don't like it. They've changed it now to personal accounts, so that we will each have a personal account. And you know, I got to admit, that does sound a little, I don't know, a little softer, a little nicer. I have my own personal account. Yeah, I like that. But what it really is a speculation account, because, you see, they're going to take part of your Social Security, and they're going to let Mr. Bush's friends on Wall Street have it. Yeah. They're going to have, I don't know, up to, I forget how many percent of it. We're going to talk about it next week. I want you to get you do your reading this week, and all my right-wing friends, you get all your ammunition that you can on your side, and we'll get all the ammunition we can on this side, and we'll just duke it out next week on the Social Security issue. And I know right now who's going to win that argument. No way. No way are we letting Bush get away with that. I don't think he will get away with it. Even some of these people like Olympia Snow says she's certainly not going to support it. She's not going to support it. She's not going to support it at all. Well, hey, it's been... how much time we got left? We got 30 seconds left? I don't know. It's been awfully good having you with the show this weekend. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. See you next week.
Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merritt. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Production assistant, Liz Laura. Marketing director, Marlene Jones. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication. And we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station.
Wink WNOG.